It's time for Benedictine Raven football, heard on your local sports authority, KAIR, Radio 93.7 FM, and streaming on msc.news.net. Benedictine Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management. Contact Hamada Wealth Management at 928-443-7536. Stay tuned. The Amberwell Health pregame will begin with the Bank of Atchison Coaches Show featuring head coach Joel Osborne right after these messages.
At Union State Bank, we often say we're rich in community. That's because we're a part of your community, living and working in the same place as you do, all trying to contribute to making it the kind of place where people thrive. And now with our newest location in Shoal Creek, we have 8 Union State Bank branches to serve you. Stop in at the Union State Bank branch in your community and find out why we are so committed to the families, schools, businesses, and farms in your neighborhood. We are USB. We are rich in community. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Joel Osborne's with us, head coach of the Ravens. Benedictine's getting ready to go here on family weekend. Coach, first of all, a long, long road trip, but a great result for your guys last Saturday.
Yeah, it was a great trip for us. Going up to Clark, getting a win was a big deal. Our defense really set the tone for us, creating 5 turnovers, and we were able to pass the ball pretty well on them through the air, especially in the first half. Get some big plays in the passing game. And, we got out of there with a win. Still a lot we can improve on. And we've had a great week of practice and looking forward to Graceland.
We've got to understand, and fans have to understand, that the win over Clark was big, not only because it's a long road trip, but this is not the old Clark team. These guys have really improved and really gotten better. And it will be very soon they're going to be an impact team in this conference.
Yeah, I think if you look at who they have, their quarterback's a guy that stands out to me. He's a guy that actually started at Baker. He's 24 years old, so he's older. And he's a guy that was difficult to get to the ground. He made a lot of plays for them. He kept them in that game. And then defensively, I thought they were much better than they were a year ago. Their kids were physical, and they competed. And Coach Regalado had those guys believing. And that was a good road test for us.
And accolades to the conference defensive player of the week. Boy, I tell you what, he earned that.
Yeah, Fabian Njika, man, he had a great game. 5 tackles, 2 forced fumbles. He had 1 fumble recovery, and then he had an interception that he returned for a touchdown in the fourth quarter. So he did a great job, played really well. Looked like he was just, he was locked in on the game plan and really had a feel for the ball and did a great job for us.
I like how the secondary is playing. I mean, you talk about Fabian. He's a new name in there. But, some of the guys who have been there for a while, I feel like are really settling into their positions.
Yeah, you got Fabian and Josh Morris at safety. Javai Blomquist is playing our nickel position. And then corners are Jackson Hoskins and Joel Mavis. And guys have been making plays. So, they're doing a good job in terms of coverage and making plays in space. And, we're very pleased with how they're playing. And they just got to continue to get better. And Coach Kogan's coaching our safeties and Coach Murfeld's coaching our corners. And those two work really well together with Coach Cook. And then really, think about why they're able to play well is because we're getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback up front with the D-line. And it all works together. And so those guys are doing a great job.
Special teams, you even had a 2-point score.
Yeah, that was a big blocked extra point. Isaac Anderson came through the middle, blocked it. Jack Hoskins was on the scoop and score side. He was able to tip the ball to himself and return that for 2 points. That was a big play in the game. That was a 3-point swing, and that made the score. Instead of a 13-point lead, we were up 16, which turned out to be a big deal.
Isaac, you just mentioned him. Here's a young man who I think is having a fabulous year. You see him do so much stuff. He's so disruptive.
Yes, he is. And he's become a really good leader for us. He got voted captain this year. And I'm really proud of him. The kids really look up to him and look for his guidance. And what he's done is he has helped us set the standard for our expectations in our program on and off the field. So he's done a great job.
Coach, now, of course, put Clark behind us. You get to focus on the weekend and coming back to Atchison. Beautiful Saturday after a little rain late in the week. And you know, you bring in a team here in Graceland, who we talk about Clark's gotten better. Graceland has made some changes at the top, some changes in personnel. They are an improved team by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, the first thing we're looking forward to is this is family weekend. And so a lot of kids' families are going to be here. We're going to have a great crowd. You know, and then on top of it, we got a good opponent. Graceland is coming in. They're 2-2, which is two more wins than they had in the previous three seasons. Coach Ross is the new head coach there. He has been a successful head coach in NAI at Lindenwood, and then transitioned when they went Division II. He was their head coach there as well. And, you know, the biggest thing he's done is he's flipped their roster. So when you look at them on film now, they look like a college football team, which is a lot different than a year ago when you look at them on film. So, and he was able to bring in his top recruit, which is his son, the quarterback, Cade Ross. And, you know, his son's the Division I quarterback, you know, that transferred, to Graceland when he got the job. And, you know, he's really put the ball in his hands, and, you know, they're going to ride or die with his success. So, you know, he's done a great job distributing the ball to his receivers. He's got good skill guys to throw to. And so the other thing that Graceland's done a good job this year is they've blocked a lot of punts. And so we've got to be on high alert whenever we're punting the ball. So, you know, we're looking forward to the challenge this week.
Graceland is a team who so far this year, and this is a Coach Ross thing, they sling it around a little bit. I mean, they are looking to score on every play.
Correct. Yeah, you never know where the ball is going to go. Everybody's got to read their keys and be ready to go. And, you know, and so we've got to get pressure on the quarterback. That's one of the biggest keys we've got to have this week is get pressure on him and get him off his first read and get him to start looking at the rush as opposed to looking downfield. And so, you know, and then we'll have opportunities to get turnovers. You know, we just got to capitalize on those. And you know, we're looking forward to the day.
Talk about getting pressure on the quarterback. How do you go about that? I mean, you've only got so many linemen. I mean, will you have to bring Gavin and some of those guys, you know, up and try to force him a little bit?
Yeah, there's different packages we're going to use. I mean, they're a big 10 personnel team, so four wide receivers. They also use zero personnel, which means five receivers. So, you know, when they're getting all those guys out in the routes, they're either only protecting with five or six. And so, you know, that's going to help us in terms of getting to the quarterback, which is a little different than when you play like a team like Grandview, who's protecting with seven and sometimes eight. And it's a lot harder to get to the quarterback. But, you know, the other thing is he'll get the ball on quick. So some of those passes are just extended runs. And, you know, in that scenario, we're going to want to have guys out in coverage as well.
See, and that just ties back to something we talked about earlier, how well your secondary is playing, because you're going to have a lot of guys out there all alone working on somebody.
Yeah, for sure. And they've done a great job. We're able to mix in coverages and, you know, be middle field open or middle field closed or play man, you know, and guys have a lot of confidence right now. They're playing at a high level. And so, you know, we've just got to continue to get better. And you know, it's a big challenge for us this week for sure.
Does it take some points to win this game this week?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to come out and play well on offense. I think the big thing we're going to have to improve off of last week is eliminating negative plays. You know, we had a lot of negative plays against Clark, which really put us in bad position on some of our drives, which essentially ended those drives. And, you know, we're going to have to establish the run. Was really disappointed in that last week and continue to get big plays in the passing game. But we got to be better on offense for sure this week. And we will. We will. Our kids have had a great week of practice, and they're locked in on the game plan, so I'm looking forward to it.
Look, I was going to ask you about the week of practice, and have we had any more JV action this week? Because I know they've been playing really well.
Yeah, they have. We played at St. Pius High School in Kansas City. We played Central Methodist, and we ended up calling the game at the end of the second quarter. Central Methodist had multiple offensive linemen get hurt, so they were only down to four linemen, so we had to call the game. There was 3 minutes left in the second quarter, Tom, and we were up 37-0. So our kids were playing really well, so it ended up counting as a non-contest. So it's not a game, but, you know, we know how well they're playing. We play Kansas Wesleyan on Sunday down in Topeka, so that's going to be a good battle, and we're looking forward to that as well.
Talk about weather games. I never heard anything like what they had up in Oskaloosa last week. I was talking with Gus on Sports Look the other night. I'm like, what would Benedictine have done? Would you have stayed over? Would you have gone back? Or would you have done like they did and just throw the towel in on that game?
Well, if we're playing here, you know, we'd have been multiple options. We have a Abbey right here that has rooms. Could have had the opposing team stay there. But, you know, we're going to play a game. We're going to figure out how to play. So, you know, unfortunately, I think those guys were in a situation where it wasn't going to work. The weather was awful. I know that for sure up in Iowa. If you watch the Iowa Hawkeyes play, it took them about 8 hours to complete their game. And so, you know, William Penn was not in a good position to play that game. And, you know, that's unfortunate for their teams and their players because they work hard going into that week and, you know, lost opportunity for those programs.
Coach, I've listened to a lot of Iowa Hawkeyes games this week on our travels, and they haven't done anything to make their fans happy.
Well, being an Iowa alum, I think, you know, the big thing is they're really good on defense. They're really good on special teams, and, you know, they're always going to be a chance, have a chance to win the game. You know, so Coach Ferentz does a great job, their staff, and, you know, they're a good program.
And this is where you want your program to be. Guys ready and in a situation at the end of the game to be able to win it, like today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and so I think the big thing that we've seen this year from our guys is, you know, they truly care about each other. They're in it together. And, you know, every week they believe in what we're doing. And we're going to have a chance to be in every game. We just got to go out and execute.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Best luck to you. You and the Ravens today here on Family Day.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you.
You've been listening to the Bank of Atchison Coaches Show on your home for Benedictine Raven football, Care Radio 93.7 FM. The Amberwell Health pregame continues with the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game right after this. The new Fall Blizzard Treat menu is at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill, and it's got all the fall, featuring returning favorites like pumpkin pie and new flavors like cinnamon roll setters, Reese's Take Five, Snickers Brownie, and more. This may be the fallest Fall Blizzard Treat menu lineup of all time, and it's all blended together in delicious, world-famous DQ soft serve. Try all the flavors at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison.
We're getting set for kickoff this afternoon of this family weekend game between the Ravens and the Yellow Jackets of Graceland. It's now time for your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game. We've got two of them this afternoon. Number one, be strong on special teams. Graceland is a team who gets after kickers. They've blocked a handful of punts already this season. They get in the lanes of field goals. You've got to be strong when it comes to the special teams game. On the flip side, I feel like the Ravens have to be strong in the secondary today. Cade Ross is a quarterback who 4 weeks in has been the conference player of the week two of those. He's one of the best passers in the country. He's going to air it out early and often. He will be a little reckless with the football at times. Ravens have got to be strong in the secondary, tackle well, and when given the opportunity, take the ball away from Graceland this afternoon. So again, be strong on your special teams and be good in the secondary today, and the Ravens can come away with a win over Graceland on Family Weekend. Those are your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game. Kickoff coming up next.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game and the Amberwell Health pregame show. We will go live to Tom and Gus Counts at the stadium for play-by-play coverage and in-game analysis of Benedictine football in just a few moments.
Your only source for local daily news, along with weather, sports, and the best mix of hit country. This is KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison. Are you a smoker, or have you quit smoking within the last 15 years? If so, and if you're between the ages of 50 and 77, then you may be at a high risk for lung cancer. Lung cancer is the leading cause of death among men and women in the United States. Each year, lung cancer claims more lives than colon cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer combined. The good news is that lung cancer caught early is almost always treatable. Lung cancer at the beginning usually has no signs or symptoms. By the time symptoms start to show, the cancer has likely spread to other parts of the body, making it more difficult and sometimes impossible to treat. A low-dose CT lung cancer screening, now available at Amberwell Atchison, is the best way to detect lung cancer in its earliest stages. To discuss low-dose CT lung cancer screening, schedule an appointment with your Amberwell primary care provider today by calling 913-367-7300.
It's time for Benedictine Raven football. Four quarters of hard-hitting, action-packed, high-flying intensity. Our coverage of Raven football is brought to you by our proud Raven sports boosters.
Welcome to Wilcox Stadium here on the beautiful campus of Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas, where we're getting set for college football this afternoon. In the heart of America Athletic Conference, the Benedictine Ravens are playing host to the Graceland University Yellow Jackets. Hello again, everybody. Joseph is running all the dials and buttons, our producer and engineer in the K-Radio Sports Studio. Along with me here in the booth, Gus Couch to my left, Izzy taking care of us all to my right, Tom Couch with you, and Gus, it's been an up-and-down weather week. It's hot, it's cold, this afternoon maybe a little warm. It is a spectacularly beautiful day and a packed house on family weekend here in Atchison.
I feel like maybe we need to get Denny Murphy to record, you know, it's a great day in the Mocan. We could just use that as a drop every week.
I like it.
It's 81 degrees here in Atchison this afternoon. Wind out of the east at 5 miles per hour, feels like 82, 44% humidity, perfect visibility, and 29.91 is your pressure this afternoon. You talk about two teams coming into today's game. Graceland playing much improved football this year. They snapped their losing streak earlier on in the season. They are 2-2 this year, and they've got head coach Patrick Ross. We've talked about him before, coming over from Lindenwood, and he brings in a lot of guys that have, you know, some familiarity with the conference, and defensive coordinator Monty Rowe, who for years was over there at Missouri Valley. They're also going to bring in first-year offensive coordinator Jesse Orleans, and if that's a name you say, man, that sounds somewhat familiar, go back and watch Last Chance U. He was the quarterback's coach for Jason Brown out there at Independence. So he'll be your offensive coordinator. They bring in a quarterback in Cade Ross, who's one of the best passers in the country yards-wise, as he's over 1,300 yards 4 weeks into the season. He also, if you heard in the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game, he's been Conference Player of the Week twice out of the 4 weeks.
If you're thinking, wow, I don't feel like I've seen this Graceland team in a really, really long time, but you'd be absolutely correct, because today's game, it's the first time that Graceland will be back here in Larry Wilcox Stadium since 2018. Both teams, both meetings between the two teams were in Lamoni last year, and tell you what, and then there was a one-year gap in between all of that, so the Ravens have got Graceland here in Atchison today. The flip of the coin was won by Benedictine, who's elected to defer. Because they've kind of gone back and forth on that, what decision that they make to start the games, but they will be putting their kick unit out there. Cullen Bruner is going to be kicking it away for Benedictine in a single man back deep. Trey Blake for Graceland. We're set to go and hope you enjoy it. High, end over end. Sailing and taken at the goal line by Blake. Up the right side to the 15, hit down at the 21-yard line.
Nice return right there by Blake. He found himself drifting into the end zone, and I feel like this has become a new norm for us on special teams. Jacob Gathright down to make the kickoff coverage tackle. And Gathright, something we might have to talk to Coach Jill Osborne about, is a nice little asset on the kick coverage unit.
Yeah, who's going to get down there quicker?
I was going to say, not many guys are going to beat him down the field.
Yeah, absolutely not. Benedictine in that red jersey today. And I'm still kind of getting used to this.
It's the first time we've seen this one.
We have not seen this combination. Bright, bright red jerseys, black helmets, black pants, white lettering and trim. For Graceland, the traveling white jersey with the dark blue helmet, pants, gold and blue lettering and trim. We're set to go. Quarterback Cade Ross, straight back to throw on first down, steps up in the pocket. He wants to go deep. Instead, it's going to run and gives himself up across the 25-yard line.
So typically we see the Ravens come out in what I call like a sub package as their base defense. They're running like a 4-2-5, which is a nickel. But if you look out there today, they're only going to go with three down linemen. They're going to have six defensive backs out there. And so basically in what I would call a dime defense to start the game. Lots of defensive backs. And your real only linebacker is going to be Gavin Spangler holding down the middle.
And you can see in Cade Ross's eyes, he was not expecting that. He's back to throw again. Sidearm pass, tipped and intercepted at the 30-yard line. It's Gavin Spangler on the second play of the game. Spangler launches himself skyward, pulls that thing in, a little juggling act, and then keeps at home.
Gary Quinn, Grill, and Joe Keys to the game were that the defensive secondary needed to stand up. I didn't expect the only linebacker on the field to be able to jump that underneath route and pull it down. The Ravens, with excellent starting field position right here inside the 30, they're going to mark it down at the 29, first and 10 Ravens.
Benedict then quickly goes sideline to sideline with the receivers, and senior quarterback Garrett Kettle takes a snap, keeps it himself, boots left, 30-25, hits the 20. He'll be right at the first down marker. And Garrett Kettle, Gus, has been a cog in that Raven running game. Matthew Hall, the strong safety with the tackle. And on that play, Benedictine has a third as many yards as they had last week rushing the ball.
Yeah, the Ravens really struggled with running the ball last week, 29 yards on the afternoon. But they rush. I got it down there. Yeah, 29 rushing yards the other day. So, you know, trying to get the running game going early.
Here's their handoff straight ahead, running again. This time it is going to be straight away with Rayshon. He'll dance left, cut right, gets inside the 10. First and goal. Linebacker Gunnar Hollis with a tackle for Grace landed. Benedictine moving the football on the ground and plays one and two. And now coming into the game, you're going to get Jayshon Todd. Wide to the right side, Gath, right slot, right Todd. And in BC is going to bring Buteau to the left. This is their base set of receivers.
And right now the Ravens are keeping things going. They're quickly back up over the football.
Rayshon is at the running back and will take the handoff. Cuts to the middle, cuts to the right, cuts to the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens! How about that? Rayshon Mills goes in. We are a minute 50 into the ball game, and Benedictine is broken on top of Graceland 6-0.
Well, last week, Rayshon had two rushing touchdowns despite Benedictine not being able to run the ball overly effective. But getting into the end zone there, three touchdowns now in 2 weeks for Rayshon Mills.
Looking now for the PAT, and in is Harry Balke. Harry injured his hand a little bit last week, so we're going to see him not playing in the normal offensive spots, but his toe is still fine, and he is in to kick, and we'll be doing that this afternoon. It'll be held by quarterback Garrett Kettle. Snap, good, placement down. Point is airborne, and he got it. Time out of the field. We are early on. 13-10 to play in the opening quarter. It is Benedictine 7, Graceland nothing.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend? Mueller's Locker Room, locally owned and operated. Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods, plus great beer, wine, and spirits, you'll always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room at 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
Welcome back to Wilcox Stadium, and after the touchdown, Benedictine's Colin Bruner's kick is away, high and not real deep, taken by, it's going to be Trey Blake around the 10-yard line, and he is submarined by Kyle Rowland. What a tremendous kick coverage tackle.
Yeah, that time Kyle Rowland did a great job keeping his lane, getting down the field, and taking the pegs out from the kick returner, Trey Blake. We're starting field position on possession two for Graceland. They're going to be inside the 15 at the 14-yard line. That's where Cade Ross will have it.
He's trying to figure out what went wrong with that last possession, and penalty marker Sale Ross is going to run with the ball and now throws at the last minute. It will be broken up at the 40, but we got a marker.
We're going to get two penalties. We're going to get an offsides against the Ravens. We're also going to get an illegal forward pass against Cade Ross because he's about 3 yards downfield when he let go of that pass. Actually, he's about 4 yards downfield, so...
At that point, I thought he was running the ball, and then he launched that kind of a little sidearm up the right sideline in front of the Benedictine bench. The official's taking a very long time.
Again, just making sure you have everything, because an illegal forward pass is a penalty and a loss of down, but they should offset each other here. Taking a long time.
Okay, we got DOM, number 23 of the defense. We got ineligible downfield against the offense, number 68. Those penalties will offset replay first down.
So they're not going to get him for the illegal forward pass?
No, they are not.
He was like 3 yards past the line of scrimmage because, again, and the reason I know that is he's past the 15, and the 14 is the line of scrimmage. Either way, reset it. Here we go, first and 10 for the Yellow Jackets.
Still at their own 14-yard line here in the early going of the game, 7-0. Benedictine with that early lead. Again, that against the three-down defensive lineman. Long count by Cade Ross. He'll take the snap at the knees, looks right, now steps up, hit as he releases the ball and overthrows an open receiver just inside the 20-yard line. He was looking over here for Blake, but it was Joe Glasser. Joe had a great game last week, too.
Yeah, Joe had a great game up in Dubuque last week. That time, able to get in the backfield quickly and force Cade Ross to throw that thing about half a second before he wanted to. The incomplete pass will bring up now 2nd and 10 for the Yellow Jacket offense, and Cade Ross just hasn't looked comfortable yet.
Again, talk about Cade Ross. Do not be deceived. If you're in the facility here watching a game and listening, or if you're wherever you are and you say, Cade Ross is a freshman, he is not your traditional freshman by any stretch.
Yeah, he went to St. Francis in Pennsylvania Division I team and then didn't play there, so transferred here with his father.
Now Ross is back. He's hit. He is sacked back inside the 10. They've got him all the way back at the 7-yard line. And the coverage downfield by Benedictine, phenomenal. Gives Zach Gill. Great to see him out there. The tackle for a loss. It is 3rd and 15.
Now the Ravens are going to make some substitutions. You're going to see Isaac Anderson check out. Joe Glasser will check out. The Ravens are going to bring Joe Burke in and Dwayne Lacy. Dwayne Lacy has been a guy who in recent weeks has been really big for this defense. He's got 2 sacks already in the first 4 games of the season.
Here we go on a 3rd down, 15, call for Graceland. They have got to be negative offensive yards so far here this afternoon. They're taking a very long time. Lots of time, though, on the play clock. We're down at 10. Quarterback will take the snap, standing now at the goal line, looking downfield, throwing deep. He's got a man, and it's broken up. Going up with one hand. That was an outstanding defensive play by Lamont Schomburger, because spectacular.
Yeah, Lamont is a guy who had an interception against Clark last week. That time, going across the middle, he thought he had a shot at a second one. Either way, able to knock it down, and it will bring up a 4th down for Graceland. They're going to bring the punt unit out. And Graceland, last week against Central Methodist, Tommy Troth, 39-yard average. But again, punts are not where this offense is going to win it.
Here we go. The Ravens are going to get this ball in a great field position. You've got Austin Buteau standing at the Graceland 45-yard line waiting for the kick. Snapback is low, picked up off the ground, and he just got it away. End over end, Buteau takes it at the 46, hit, and will be spun down right there.
That time the Ravens were back. They were trying to block that kick and just not able to get there was Jared Heron, a sophomore from Moberly. He did about another step to get to it.
So Benedictine with a 7-0 lead and 11:49 to go in the opening quarter will bring their offense out for the second time this afternoon. And, Gus, again, we talk about this a lot, but when you throw the ball, you do not utilize much time, and Ravens are going to be back very quickly. You got receivers out there for Benedictine. How about this? You got LeBron Jackson and Ethan Peratt.
They're going to be wide to the right side.
Running back in the backfield, Rayshon. Quarterback Garrett Kittle. Back to throw, fires one to the tight end. There's Reed Levi at the 40-yard line. Give him a half a dozen.
That time, Reed Levi working against the linebacker, Gunnar Hollis. He did a great job of getting in front of Hollis, not allowing him to get a hand across and knock that football away.
And when you've got a defender that's nowhere near as big as you, you might think Reed Levi could have a big day. Reed, 6'4", 225 out of Rockhurst High School. Trips to the right side for Benedictine. Reed's going to be set up as a tight end on left. Movement on the front. No penalty. Handoff is going to go right side. Jay Shot looking for the edge. Can't find it now. We'll finally get upfield a little bit. Crossing the 35-yard line or getting down to the 35-yard line. Picking up about a yard.
If you look over on the far sideline, Grayson's got a player very slow to get up. He's the guy who was able to finally trip Jay Shot up, but being looked at now by the training staff. We're going to see Rayshon Mills check back into the ballgame for the Ravens. They're going to take out on this play Jayshon Todd. Jayshon, though, able to net Benedictine a first down in that last play. They'll have a first and 10 at the 35-yard line.
They're still looking at him right on the sideline in front of the Graceland bench. And I don't mean, sometimes you stretch out like that and you kind of twist around, maybe a little, I don't know, maybe some hyperextension or something has gone on. They're tending to him on a far sideline. You mentioned it was a warm day here in Atchison as kickoff just a little bit ago. The sky, super foggy this morning. You know, it was just pea soup, but it is so nice here today. That is all burned off, crystal clear, and a fantastic
game. Games going on around the conference today. William Penn is at Missouri Valley. You've got Clark at Baker. Culver Stockton at Central Methodist. Those are all games going on right now. Two night games, Peru at Mid-America, Grandview at Nixa, taking on Evangel.
Jacob Gathright is in the alignment now. He'll be the single man wide to the right side on the first down. Call for Benedictine at the 35. Back to throw is Kettle. Going deep. He's got Gathright. Count it. Touchdown, Ravens. 35-yard strike. Kettle, Gathright, and Benedictine doubles its lead.
Yeah, that time Gathright was able to get behind his defender. I'm going to tell you, if Gathright gets behind you, it's over. And what a job right there by Garrett Kettle to just loft one out, and the Ravens get their second touchdown on as many possessions.
What I'm loving about this Benedictine offense is they lured Graceland into a sense of not realizing that Jacob wasn't out there, had brought him out there. You put him in the game, suddenly you got a whole different dimension to deal with. He just outruns everybody to the other end of the field, and Garrett put that right on the dot. For the PAT on its way, and give it to Balky. We got a timeout. 10:57 to go. We're still in the opening quarter. All Benedictine and Atchison, Ravens 14, Graceland nothing.
Hi, I'm Laura Weiser from Exchange Bank. In today's world of technology, online banks are popping up everywhere, promising better, more convenient banking. But there's still no better way to bank than with people you know and trust. Exchange Bank provides internet and mobile banking. But we're also here offering personal, face-to-face service you just don't get with online banks. Come see us. We're here for you.
Exchange Bank and Trust. Community-minded, that's my bank.
Atchison Auto Parts is your independent Napa dealer, locally owned and operated. Stop by and see faces you recognize that have been in the business for over 50 years combined. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right part for your passenger vehicle or heavy-duty parts for the big trucks. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Taken at the 5, bobbled, picked up, and down at the 15-yard line. Thus, the Raven kick coverage. 3 kickoffs today, and they have been absolutely phenomenal. How about Spencer? Is that Spencer Witt down there?
Yeah, Spencer Witt getting a special teams tackle right there.
Spencer out of one of our favorite towns, Higginsville, Missouri. What do you bet he's got a dozen fans in the stands right now?
Wouldn't shock me, right?
Yeah, Hello Jackets. They're very familiar with this territory inside their own 15-yard line. They've got it first and 10.
Have we seen maybe just one or two players in Raven territory today? Right after that punt.
Maybe one.
Yeah. After that punt that Buteau fielded. But, yeah, this game has been predominantly played on the Graceland half of the field.
Cade Ross will send a receiver wide to the left side. That's going to be Trey Blake. He's going to go all wide left, and we'll kick it over to Blake, hoping that his lead blocks will pick up some defenders, and he does, and he skirts out of bounds, picking up a first down, the first and 10 of the afternoon for Graceland. He'll be across the 35, or rather the 25, up to around the 27-yard line.
Yeah, now Graceland is a team who's going to throw the ball a lot, but they're only going to throw it to a couple receivers, right? You're going to see Gerald Monroe, you're going to see Trey Blake and Reggie Wilson. Felix Wade will get a little into the action, and Adarius Thomas. That's it. They list all these other receivers. There are 4 guys on the depth chart that you probably will not see today.
First and 10 at their own 27-yard line. Ross back, looking right, nothing, looks left, nothing, steps up, hit and buried at the 22. He'll lose six.
What a job right there by the Raven defense in front, able to close the gap and get into the backfield. And again, the Ravens are right in Cade Ross's lap, coming up to make the sack right there. Abram Phillips, redshirt freshman out of Olathe North.
Guy who I'm watching doing a great job on the coverage downfield for Benedictine. Blue Kaplinger out there with Oliver's guy. Jackson Hoskins had his man totally enveloped, and Ross struggling to find an open receiver. Second down at about 15, 16 to go. Motion to the right. Back to throw. They hit the motion man on the pass. Takes it at the 20, 25, and up to the 30-yard line. So he'll get about 6 or 7, where it's Blue Kaplinger over here in the left flat making the stop. For Grayson, they look down at a third down 7.
So now on this third down, you're going to see Tyler Wilson check into the ballgame. For the Ravens, you're also going to see out there number 36, Solomon Wallace, the senior linebacker out of St. Louis by way of Lutheran North High School.
They're shifting a lot of receivers. Two will go to the wide side. That's the left side. And two to the right. And now quarterback holds the official holds everybody up. And we're set to go. Third down, 8. And again, Cade Ross taking a lot of time looking around his defense. We're in single digits on the play clock. Snap back low, but he picks it up, gets the pass away. It's going to be caught. Tackled for a loss on a play. What a job by Fungala. Wow.
That time, Yanika did a great job following the running back out of the backfield into the flat. As soon as he made the catch, was on him to make the stop. No gain on the play, maybe even a loss of a yard. Let's call it 4th and 8. We're going to see Graceland back to punt with Tommy Truth, a freshman.
Yaninka Fondangala, a 5'10" redshirt freshman for Benedictine out of St. Paul. 4th down and a little punt action here for Tom, freshman for Graceland. He stands at his own 13-yard line. High snap, calls it in. Blah! It's on the ground, rolling around, and the Ravens cover it up at the 17-yard line. We talked about it with the previous punt, how close they had come. That time, they absolutely engulfed that football. And I'm telling you what, give it to Harry O'Neill, another one of those rockers guys out there.
Yeah, Harry O'Neill at 6'4", was able to extend himself and block that punt. Great job by the Ravens. And again, this game continues to be played on the Graceland half of the field. Benedictine up 14 with the ball. It's going to be 1st and 10 at the Graceland 18-yard line, and already BC's up 3 touchdowns.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just being played in Graceland's half. It's been played pretty much inside Graceland's 25-yard line. 14-0, Benedictine, 8:15 to go in the opening quarter. Ravens 1st and 10, 19-yard line. Back to throws, Kettle. Plenty of time. Going end zone. Wide open. Touchdown, Ravens, and Jay Sean Todd and Benedictine blow the doors off this game in the middle of the opening quarter.
So I'm a little upset with Coach Osborne right now, right? He lied to us in the pregame. He said this looks like a college football team right now. Graceland just looks confused out there on the field. You had a safety and a cornerback look at each other and watch Jay Sean Todd wide open in the back of the end zone. If there's one guy you don't leave wide open, Jayshon.
How happy do you think Garrett Kettle was as he surveyed downfield and sees Jayshon with no one literally within viewing range? The PAT is up and good for Harry, and wait a minute, it hits the upright and goes through, and we got a timeout. We're taking a break. 8:11 to go in the opening quarter. It is all Ravens and Atchison. Benedictine 21, Graceland nothing.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary retirement planning review. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning checkup, call Brandy at 913-379-8690 or search online at Hamada Atchison, Kansas. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
Subway makes it their priority to serve you the delicious meals you love in the easiest, safest ways possible. Order in-store, online, or through the Subway app for carryout service. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Check out their fresh melts, signature wraps, no bready bowls, and amazing salads. At Subway, under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Welcome back to Wilcox Stadium, and as a Benedictine kick again is high, caught by the breeze and driven down to the 15-yard line. The up man looked like he was going to field it. Then he broke off. The man behind him was running up, and he didn't expect the ball. It hits the ground, bounds around. Raven kick coverage guys are diving on it, but Omar Jaya Black was down there, could not quite get it corralled, and Graceland very lucky to maintain possession here. Very lucky.
Wow. There's been a lot of breakdowns to this Graceland team. So here we go. Possession number four for the Yellow Jack as they've seen an interception, a punt, and a blocked punt so far today.
Quarterback is back, throws one out of the backfield. It's going to be caught on the far side and running out of bounds, picking up about 5 yards into the far sideline. We got a late block down there, but no marker on the ground.
Okay, I don't know if you see it. About the 35-40-yard line, there's a yellow butterfly that keeps flying around out there. And every time I see it, I think it's a marker flying out there.
Well, what I'm having trouble with is the tall, bright yellow stockings worn by Kate Ross. His uniform looks nothing like anyone else on the team's uniform. Second down and 7. At their own 22, here's a handoff, a little running play into the left side. That is good for, well, absolutely nothing. It's going to bring up a third down and 7.
That time, Brian Barrera able to get back there and make the stop. Barrera with his 10th tackle of the season. And can I tell you, I think maybe Cade Ross spent a little more time worried about his wardrobe today than the Raven defense, because right now this Graceland team looks confused. When the best thing that's happened to their offense today was a punt that actually got away, I mean, that's not a good start.
Third down, 5 off that run by Adarius Thomas at their own 23-yard line. Another Monarch going by here. Back to throw is Ross, looking right, throwing deep, and he will miss his receiver. Downfield, Gerald Monroe, and it goes incomplete. Double coverage by Schomburger and Roland for Benedictine.
And now Cade Ross is just trying to make something happen, right? I think he's trying to force the ball a little too much. He had a check down there instead. Tries to go deep into double coverage, and against a guy like Schomburger, who had an interception last week, almost had one already today, I'm going to tell you that by the end of the day, he's going to get one. And now, here comes the punt team, and this has been pretty dicey today. The first one skipped back to the punter. The last one got blocked.
Troth is at his own 7-yard line, waiting for the snap here. It's a good one. Ravens after it. He gets it away, and it's a line drive one. High hop taken by Buteau at the 40, and he'll be downed right there.
Don't mind that catch, though, right? Like,
keep it from bouncing.
Yeah, if he doesn't field that thing probably bounds another 10 or 12 yards. So, again, save your offense a little, and you're still going to start this possession out near midfield at the 40. They are going to mark it just straight down at the 40-yard line. So,
right now you've got Graceland rushing for negative 6 yards in the game, 22 passing yards. So the yard disparity, Benedictine has 93. Graceland has 16 yards so far today. And we're going to stay right here, Joseph. They're taking a little hydration break out of the field right now because it's very, very warm here in Atchison.
Take a look at some of the stats real quick. This will give us an opportunity to do that. Benedictine with 20 points today. They haven't even seen a third down, right? They're 0-for-0 on third down opportunities today. Graceland 0-for-3. Benedictine, 6 first downs, 34 rushing yards. They got more rushing yards already in the first, 7 minutes of this game than Benedictine did all game last week. Total yards, 93. You look at Garrett Kettle today, 3 of 3 for 59 yards, 2 touchdowns. Rayshon Mills, 2 rushes for 19. Garrett Kettle, 1 rush for 10 yards today.
Probably a sellout here. While we're talking about sellout games, guys, how about that one down at Memorial Stadium in Lawrence just an hour from here?
Yeah, Kansas right now, here's a spoiler alert, they are leading 28-13 with about 2 minutes to play in the third quarter. Kansas, 427 total yards to Duke's 274. So just an impressive output right now by the Jayhawks.
Yeah, you'll take that 420 yards in 3 quarters, right?
Not even the whole 3 quarters.
So the Ravens will come out of this.
Is Monty Rose the defensive coordinator for Duke? Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not.
I would say BC's going to get those kind of yards today if he keeps his defense up.
First and 10, Ravens. This is maybe their poorest field position today, beginning a series at their own 40-yard line. Single man to the backfield. Look at this. Garrett Kettle is under center. Hands off, jet sweep, left side. Needing to block, not getting it. Just cutting into the middle and getting down to the 45-yard line, picking up five on sheer speed for the Ravens. There goes Jacob Gathright.
Yeah, John El Hervo with the stop on the play. Also getting in there was Brent Whitehall, the outside linebacker. So, when it's all said and done, he still picked up 5 yards on a play that didn't look like he was going to pick up much. Quickly, they're going to go two to the right side, and again, you're going to see LeBron Jackson out there wide to the right side.
LeBron, a 6'2", 195-pound freshman out of Bakersfield, California. Now the Ravens are going to go trips right, flare it over. Out of the backfield, it's going to go to Jayshon. He'll get across the line of scrimmage and very little more up to the 46, 47-yard line. Ravens looking now at a third down three. They're looking to get Jayshon behind those two wide receivers as a pair of lead blockers to give him just a little room, because that's exactly what Jayshon needs, just a little room.
Wygand and Buteau will check into the ballgame for the Ravens. They're going to take out Colin Payne and Reed Levi on this play.
A lot of shuffling going in. The defense, they don't even know if they've got the right number of guys. They're running two more off the field. Third down, four for Benedictine. They'll motion out to the right side, setting up a receiver to the short side of the field. Back to throw, Kettle looks right, throws right, missed his man. He was looking on the right side for Harry O'Neill, but it's going to go incomplete. And Benedictine, Gus, do they have a punter? We haven't seen one today.
And the Ravens are kind of talking about it, but they are going to go ahead and send their punt unit out there.
You know, Garrett is talking to head coach Osborne down here and said, Coach, we can pick this up.
Yeah, and if I were Coach Osborne, I probably would have rolled the dice.
So Cullen Bruner is in for the first time this afternoon for Benedictine, and he's going to be kicking the ball away to Trey Blake. Blake is back at his own 15-yard line. Very, very little breeze, so it's going to be pretty much inconsequential right now. Bruner at his own 31, perfect snap, excellent kick. Return man is going to let it bounce, 30, 20, picks it up at the 10-yard line and down at the 15. Here's the deal. If he doesn't pick it up at the 10, it's going to go rolling dead around a 2.
Yeah, that time the Ravens did a great job getting down there. Joshua Morris makes the stop on the kick coverage unit. And, again, Grayson very familiar with this territory. They're going to start this possession at their own 15.
Okay, guys, you know, Grayson, the last time they beat Benedictine, October 2016, it was a close game, 34-29. The Ravens turned it over a number of times that day and ultimately led to that loss. But here's the thing. Since that game, Benedictine has outscored Graceland, right, ready for this, 272-26.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Last year, Benedictine beat Graceland, was it like 62-0?
Yeah, and in the four-game winning streak, the current four-game winning streak the Ravens have over Graceland, they're averaging 68 points a game. On their way to that today. Back to throw is going to be Ross. He just throws it as hard as he can and got a man at the 50. He's going to take it to the 30. Left side 20. Dragged down from behind. And that was a 30, 40, 50, 65-yard pass play. Wow.
That's what Grayson's going to have to do, right? Just step back, get a little desperate, chuck it deep. If it gets intercepted, it gets intercepted. But take your chances. Over the top, let Cade Ross just try to throw the ball and get you out of this hole because, again, down 3 touchdowns in the first quarter, you figure that out that you're going to lose this game by a lot.
A lot. It is a 1st and 10 at the Benedictine 15-yard line. Graceland threatening on offense. BC has gotten to 4 down linemen. They switch tackles from side to side. Single man to the backfield. Ross will take it. Back to throw, throws right, has his man, hit at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Graceland.
That time, Cade Ross took a big hit on that play. Getting into the backfield for the Ravens, you're going to have Isaac Anderson, but again, nice job by Cade Ross to get rid of that football, and at the 4:15 mark, they're going to get into the end zone. 14.
PAT coming up now by Joseph Sanchez. And now Graceland is bringing in an additional guy for the PAT. Now, the officials are having a big powwow. Gus along the line of scrimmage on the far side of the line.
So what? That was a two-play, 85-yard touchdown drive.
And again, I don't know what the officials are having. There's a flag on the ground over there at the threes. What's going on? Here we go with the official.
At this play, we have a dead ball, personal foul, late hit on number 18 of the defense. That 15-yard penalty will be enforced on the kickoff.
So there you have it, a penalty that will be enforced on the kickoff after our PAT effort, which is coming up here pretty quick. Once again, the kicker's freshman, Sanchez. He's 7-10 on PATs. That snap is a little low, but the kick is on its way. Did it get through? Nah, it's no good. We're taking a break. 4:14 to go. Opening quarter here in Atchison, Kansas. Benedictin 21. Graceland has 6.
Hundley Liquor is your hometown liquor store with everything you can imagine. Whether you're in the mood to finish a great day by kicking back and drinking a domestic or imported beer, or maybe even a fine wine to pair with your dinner tonight, whatever your need, look no further. Hundley Liquor at 119 South 9th Street has got it. Beer, wine, spirits. Hundley Liquor, hometown friendly, hometown helpful in Atchison.
A wise investor once said, "The stock market is filled with individuals who know the price of everything, but the value of nothing." At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to know the difference between value and price. Whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with, give us a call to learn more at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Here at Wilcox Stadium in Atchison, Kansas, where Grayson has gotten on the board and has cut their deficit down to 21-6. Joseph in the studio, Gus Counts with me here, Tom Counts. And after the penalty, the ball's going to be kicked from the 50-yard line by Sanchez. So do you just bury it? No, he's going to get a little pooch kick. Ravens will take it at the 6. Left side to the 10, trying to bounce outside, hit at the 15. And that is where Benedictine will begin this possession. First attempt to the 15-yard line. Because after that last series and Grayson getting on the board, Benedictine's coaching staff may be thinking we should have listened to Garrett Kittle and gone for it on fourth down back there?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
I think that if you were to ask Coach, he'd say, well, hindsight's always 20/20.
Of course.
But I do think that you're going to have faith in your offense today against Grayson's defense because, again, Benedictine just looks like they're overmatching this defense of Grayson.
We'll see how they do. It's a 1st and 10 with their worst field position of the day. And the handoff, no, quarterback will keep it, cut straight ahead, and take it to the 20-yard line. So a gain of about 5 yards for Garrett Kittle on a 1st down. And now what I'm concerned about, I thought he was going to hand it to Jay Sean on the jet sweep, but a defender had that thing grabbed up. They're watching Jay Sean.
Yeah, they're watching Jay Sean on that end around. They were at home ready for the tackle. But you know what you're also doing? You're also setting up for later in the game. You're sucking these safeties down and in. You're going to be able to take the top off of it pretty shortly.
2nd down, 5 call Ravens at their own 21. Kettle to snap, wrap around Rayshon, goes right side, drags defenders, gets it to the 25, and he's going to have a 1st down to the 27-yard line. Nice surge after the contact, and Benedictine will advance the sticks.
Ravens are going to go to the bench and bring in a new tight end.
Yeah, Reed is going to come out.
Mm. Who is that? 86, it's going to be Tanner Zimmerman, a freshman at 6'5", 205 out of Olathe West.
Okay, look at some of the new guys. We see a handful coming in there. Also for Benedictine, who we got, 31, Spencer. Is that right?
It's me.
That can't be right. Here's a quarterback, fires it over out of the backfield, 25, 35. Another first down for Benedict and up the right sideline. Pulled down from behind, but just a quick hitter coming out of the backfield. And again, the Ravens move the stick.
That time, Derek Overstreet coming out of the backfield. And again, the Ravens running so many guys into the ballgame. Omar Jaya Black is in. You're going to race out of the game. Ethan Peratt, you're going to take out, Austin Buteau. So, again, a whole bevy of new receivers, a new tight end in the ballgame.
If you're a player, you're like, man, I got to be on my toes every minute. I could come into the game anytime. Kettle, long snap, wraparound handoff. That's Overstreet. He's to the 40, drags the defender. Over. The ball pops loose. It goes right into the hands of a Graceland player as Derek Overstreet coughs it up. And that thing is caught, Gus, in absolute midair by Graceland. And they're going to have it first and 10. For the Yellow Jackets, I got Darby Robertson. Is that right?
Yep, on the recovery. And that time, Overstreet went to spin. The ball just kind of came away from him and popped out. So a tough break for the Ravens. Now, scoring on their first three possessions, their last two have ended giving the ball back to Graceland.
Yellow Jackets are going to begin this in Raven territory, trailing in the game 21-6. At the Benedict at 45, here's a straight-ahead run. They haven't done much of that, and it's going to be good to the 40-yard line, picking up five.
That time taking advantage of the Ravens' defensive lineup, and now the officials look like they were stopping play as the sticks aren't moving. And
Grayson is over the ball already.
I'm not really sure what the officials are doing right now.
They have slowed play down today a lot.
I don't see a penalty anywhere, but
do you understand that?
Yeah, so they're saying that there were 12 on the field when the ball was snapped and that Dwayne Lacy lost the helmet on the play.
So it's first down 5. Now at the Benedictine 40-yard line. Cade Ross taking a long look over to the left side. It is offensive coordinator Jesse Ornelas. QB back to throw. Slings it over the middle. It's going to be caught 30, 25, 20, down the middle, 15, and drug down to the 14-yard line. And Gus, we talk a lot of times about how if a quarterback throws the ball really, really hard, it's difficult to catch. Well, he throws that football hard.
Yeah, that time it almost like sticks to the receiver. Joshua Morris able to come over and make the stop right there for Benedict. And just under 2 minutes to play here in the first quarter. Grayson with the football.
Quarterback is back to throw again, flares it over to the left side, taken at the 17, hit and down at the 13-yard line. Ultimately, a gain of a couple of yards.
Javai Bloomquist there for the Ravens. A quick little screen out to the receiver in the left flat. That time it was Gerald Monroe. Monroe is the number two receiver in the country, 513 yards in 4 weeks.
Grayson working fast. Here's a straight-ahead run. Hit at the 10-yard line, gaining another yard and a half or two.
That time you're not going to pull away from the sure-handed tackle of Gavin Spangler. The Ravens have a defensive end that's a little slow to get off the field. They're going to bring him out, bring in the freshman, Garrett Fiden, as a defensive end. It'll be third down now for Graceland, 3rd and 6 with 1:07 left here in the first quarter.
Deep in Benedictine territory at the Raven 10-yard line. Getting a single man to the backfield with right at the quarterback, and we're going to get a timeout, Ravens defense. BC taking a break. Interesting. Call a minute one to go. We're in the opening quarter in Atchison. Ravens 21, Graceland 6.
Skyway Bank at 711 Commercial Street in downtown Atchison is always introducing new products with you in mind. Check out the selection of slim and foldable batteries, Delta gummies, carts, and dispos. If it's e-juice you want, Skyway Vapes has it, along with all of your vaping accessories. It's the vaping experience you want. Friendly, knowledgeable service with a range of products that can't be beat. Skyway Vapes, 7-Eleven Commercial in downtown Atchison. Open 10 to 9 Monday through Saturday, Sunday noon to 7.
Amberwell Atchison is excited to announce the return of the Amberwell Health Fair Saturday, October 15th from 8 a.m. to noon at Atchison Elementary School. With over 50 indoor and outdoor booths and activities planned, attendees can look forward to free health screenings, vaccinations, and blood tests, kids and adult educational activities, and lots of prizes and giveaways. Bring the whole family. It's sure to be a fun day for all. For more details, visit amberwellhealth.org.
Welcome back to Atchison, Kansas. Benedictine's defense taking a timeout at Graceland. Looking at a third down six car. The BC 10. Back to throw. Defeat pass. Into the corner of the end zone. Easily caught. Touchdown Graceland. That was a well-designed and perfectly executed play. And a wide-open receiver over to the right side. Gerald Monroe with the catch. I guess that was a quick four-play drive downfield.
I'm going to hope that that was a defensive breakdown, and you aren't telling me that the number one or the number two receiver in the country was being guarded by an outside linebacker. So that's why I'm going to throw that down, that there was a little bit of miscommunication. Now they're going to go for the two. It's thrown into the back of the end zone. Incomplete. And Graceland stuck on 12.
And we're taking another break, Joseph. We're wearing you out, but we're having some fun at Anches on 52 seconds ago in the opening quarter. Benedictine 21, Graceland 12.
Get your tan on at Snap Fitness. You don't have to be a Snap Fitness member to take advantage of their great tanning deals. With three tanning beds, appointments are available from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Monday through Thursdays and 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Call them at 913-367-1511 to schedule. Get your tan on at Snap Fitness, 409 Commercial in Atchison.
The new Fall Blizzard Treat menu is at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill, and it's got all the fall, featuring returning favorites like pumpkin pie and new flavors like cinnamon roll setters, Reese's Take Five, Snickers Brownie, and more. This may be the fallest Fall Blizzard Treat menu lineup of all time, and it's all blended together in delicious, world-famous DQ soft serve. Try all the flavors at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison.
Got Joseph Sanchez out there, 5'10", 220-pound kicker for Graceland, getting set to put a toe to the football. And Benedictine, who had led a while ago, 21-0, now leads only 21-12.
I love a good palindrome.
Here's the kick. Yeah, that's a good one. As long as you got the 21, here's the taking back 20, 5'30", 5'40". He's going to score. This thing is going to go coast to coast. It's a touchdown for Benedictine. What a return. Jay Sean Todd.
Jay Sean Todd with his second kick return for a touchdown this season. You remember the first one was that 102-yarder up in Des Moines a few weeks ago. That time he just slow played it, allowed the blocking to develop, and once he got it into open field, there was nobody on this field catching him unless Jake Gathright ran off the sideline. Touchdown Ravens, and Benedictine pushes it now to a 27-12 advantage. Here comes the PAT unit, and it will be Harry Balky.
Well, here's the thing, Gus, is Harry's going to try to put these uprights for the fourth time here in the opening quarter. We've gotten a little spoiled because you can see as that return develops and the point is good, and we're going to hold on to it, Joseph. We'll not take a break here with 41 seconds to go in the quarter. Quinn, you get the return coming back for Benedictine with Jay Sean, and he gets beyond maybe the 30, 35-yard line and the bulk of the players, and suddenly they are now off to his side or not in front of him. It's done. There's just no one out there who could catch him. And it's not like he's putting on fabulous moves. He did that to get through the first wave of defenders. But once he gets to the, say, 40 or so, it is absolutely a foot race and a sprint to the other end, and he cannot be caught.
And can I ask you something? Graceland did something there that we haven't seen. We didn't see it at all last week, and we haven't really seen it much since week two. And that's kick the ball to Jay Sean. A lot of teams have been kicking it high and short. They've been kicking it away from Jay Sean. But that time they kicked it right at him, and that's why you don't kick it to him, okay?
Yeah, like, they're not going to do that.
Do your homework. I don't think we'll see him touch the ball again on the kickoff return today.
Probably not, but the damage done, and the kick is an onside kick, and Benedictine is looking for it. Did they get it back? No.
I feel like they touched it before. It didn't matter. At that time, the Ravens trying to get a little cute and take one away.
I like that call, okay?
I'm totally
on board with that call. That's fantastic. It will be Graceland's ball at their own 48-yard line. And I'm with you. I thought that somebody going up, he was kind of walking the ball up the field off the toe of the kicker and reached down and got a hand on it, perhaps.
So this thing's going to be just shy of the 50-yard line. They're going to mark it into Graceland territory at the 48. That's where the Yellow Jackets will have it. First and 10, 41 seconds remain.
Cade Ross is your quarterback. Talk about he's one of the leading throwers in the country. And again, he just chucks this as long and as hard as he can, and it's going to be incomplete. Perfectly defended downfield at the 25-yard line. You got to realize that ball went, you know, 30, 35 yards in the air and was pretty well thrown, but the defense was excellent.
If you look over there, Joel Mavis is not really happy with the official because he was slowing down looking for the interception, and he felt like he was interfered on by the offensive receiver, and that was all said and done. It's going to bring up second and 10, 36 seconds left here in the first quarter.
This game, I think we're going to see an awful lot of possessions today. We're not out of a quarter. And again, they're just launching it as deep as they can go, and it's incomplete. Here is the Graceland offense. You want me to summarize it for you? Okay. Run the football? Nah. Can't do it. Won't do it. They're not going to do it. They can't do it. They're incapable of running. Throwing the short pass? They had a little luck, not much. Their only offense, their only hope to score on this team is for Cade Ross, who's got a really strong arm. Again, a Division I quarterback who transferred into Graceland to follow his father as the head coach. Just throw it as deep as you can and hope your guy catches it.
But again, there is zero offensive creativity.
None.
To it, right? Like, so when you first started playing, you know, PlayStation football, this is all you did, just chuck it deep. I mean, there's, you know, probably don't need an offensive coordinator to run this offense today.
Can we call it the nine?
Yeah. And now we're going to get a whistle and to get the timeout before the delay.
Timeout, Graceland.
Yeah, but Joseph, let's again keep this one here. I mean, we're 25 seconds away from the end of the quarter. Graceland was running low on the play clock right there.
So the Ravens scored at 41. We're going to third down now at 25. So the kickoff and two plays have happened in 16 seconds.
Okay. That's some of the danger of throwing that.
Yeah. Under 25 seconds, and you give the ball back.
You know the problem we're going to run into today?
Joseph, in overtime?
Well, but
can we afford him?
Besides that, we can't, and he'll probably just leave, and we'll have to take this thing, you know, the rest of the night. We're going to run out of daylight, right? An hour, a quarter, and we're going to be in some trouble.
Goodness,
49 minutes already, and we're still in the first quarter.
We're still in savings time, so we've got that going for us, which is nice.
Which is nice.
Third down and 10. Graceland at their own 48-yard line. Still in the opening quarter in Atchison. This quarter has lasted for 50 minutes, and it is not done yet. So we're talking about a 4-plus hour-long game here today, okay? Joseph, just a heads up. QB's back. Cade buried the Ravens, sacked him at the 42.
That time getting into the backfield, the Ravens, Tyler Wilson. We've talked about this senior out of San Clemente. That is his fourth tackle for loss, his first sack, and as quickly as that, we're going to make it to the end of the quarter.
You know what? I just may find this Raven uniform with a red jersey and a black pants and helmet maybe my favorite yet. We're taking a break. We have, in fact, reached the end of quarter number one. We're in Atchison, Kansas, back with a second. After one, Benedictine 28, Graceland 12.
Your car is a complex machine filled with the latest technology, and it needs quality service to keep it running right. By taking your car or truck to Lewis Chevrolet Buick in Atchison, you will have peace of mind knowing your vehicle will be maintained and repaired by highly trained professionals. And when it's time to add or upgrade a vehicle, look right here at Lewis Chevrolet Buick. Small town feel with big city discounts. Call them at 913-367-3000 or stop by 314 Woodlawn in Atchison.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary retirement planning review. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning checkup, call Brandy at 913-379-8690 or search online at Hamada Atchison, Kansas. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
So good to have you with us here on CARE Radio.
Benedictine set to return a punt to begin the second quarter. And, of course, BC has got their return man back, goes back and fields it at the 16. Hit and down at the 20-yard line. And Austin Buteau right there. Here's the thing about Austin. Sure hands, he's going to hold on to the ball, and you're going to have it where he got it.
Yeah, Austin Buteau is one of those, he's not the flashiest punt returners, but he's sure-handed. He is able to make the big play, but you know he's not going to turn the football over. So the Ravens with the football back, and last time they've been out there, it's been quite a while ago.
Is he a flashy dresser?
Well, we'll have to figure that out.
The last time
the Ravens had the ball, Derek Overstreet fumbled it away. So it's been a minute since the Ravens have been out on offense.
Kettle is back to throw. He's got a receiver down the right side. It's wide open. Jayshon at the 50-40. Jayshon's going to score. You can't catch him. Ravens touchdown. 14:39 to go in the second quarter. How about that? Is linebacker Angel Villasana, he was thinking, what are you doing to me, coach? I can't catch this guy. He's bottled lightning. And Benedictine, another 70-plus yard touchdown.
Somebody better talk to the defensive coordinator today, because putting an outside linebacker on Jayshon Todd out of the backfield on a little bit of a wheel route was just a bad idea. 34 points in just a little over a quarter is probably not a good idea either. Whew. They've got a lot of things to talk about on the defensive side of the football for Graceland. Benedictine looking for the PAT.
Here comes Harry Balke. Oh, no, the snap is bumbled. Quarterback is trolling. And Kettle is just going to throw it into the ground. It's incomplete. We got a timeout. 14:39 to go. We're still in the opening half here in Atchison. Benedictine extends its lead. Ravens 34, Yellow Jackets 12.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend? Mueller's Locker Room, locally owned and operated. Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill, and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods, plus great beer, wine, and spirits, you'll always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room, at 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
Welcome back to Atchison. Because I'm trying to do the math, 165 yards for Jayshon on the last two plays.
It's not bad, right?
It's not bad. 165 yards on back-to-back plays, and the kickoff is probably by Benedictine is going to scoot out the back of the end zone.
How many teams play football in the Heart of America Athletic Conference?
I mean, how many teams have football teams?
Yeah.
A dozen.
Okay. We should call up 10 teams, okay?
Okay.
Exclude the two teams here today.
Uh-huh.
Ask them if they've ever heard of Jayshon Todd.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Every coach and staff will say, yeah.
Yeah.
If he's good.
You know the first thing they'll say? He's really fast.
Yeah, it's the first thing they'll say. But my question is, in Lamoni, have they not seen film on the Ravens?
No.
Not only do they kick the ball to Jayshon Todd, they put a linebacker on the fastest guy probably in the conference out of the backfield. Right now, Grayson's got a lot of things to clean up. And don't get me wrong, they are a quick strike offense, and they could get themselves back in this, but just too many mistakes like that today.
Quarterback Ross is back over the middle, throwing deep, and it's going to be behind his receiver, who spins around, does not make the catch. It is incomplete. And you've got Reggie Wilson, the intended receiver out there. For Grayson, quarterback Cade Ross is out there in, culottes. You remember what culottes were? You know, they're like a pair of shorts that come down about mid-calf.
Yeah,
looks like he's taking a walk on the beach, the capri pants or something. Yeah. There's no thigh pads, no knee pads, none of that. He's kind of wearing shorts like 7-on-7.
So they are going to say that the ball did skip off the turf, incomplete. It's going to bring up now 2nd and 10 for Graceland.
Now, Kenny Ross is talking to his wide receiver, very wide to the left side. He's having a word with Gerald Monroe. Trips left, QB back, little wraparound handoff, running back straight ahead, 25, and down at the 27. The old high-low tackle, one guy underneath, one guy polishes him off, and there's going to be pretty short gain on that play.
You're going to have Joe Glasser coming off the bottom of the stack, also in on the stop for Benedictine today. It's going to be number 43, Abram Phillips. We've talked about this young freshman out of Olathe North.
5'11", 259 pounds, built just like a brick wall. I mean, this guy's solid. Third down, seven. Here comes a Graceland offense. You know, they're throwing a ball, and you're not going to try to throw it deep because that's kind of what we have been taught or shown that they do. Receivers sideline to sideline. Quarterback is back to throw, steps up in the pocket. Now he's going to run. He's got a little room and throws it late, and it is going to be caught. But was it across the line or was it complete?
Yeah, that time he caught the ball in mid-jump. So he jumps up, he catches the ball, but a great job by the Ravens to just put two hands in his back, push him out, not able to get a foot down in the field of play. It'll be an incomplete pass and bring up fourth down. That time they were looking for Trey Blake over there on the far sideline. Coming in for the Ravens, their kick return unit have been all over that punter all day. It would be Austin Buteau going to settle around his own 32-yard line.
Here we go. The Graceland offense has still rushed for negative yards today. At Buteau, at a Benedictine 35 for the punt return. Sanchez from his own 12-yard line. Really long count. Gets a snap. Hurries it. Gets it away. And the Ravens do not rough him. It'll be taken by Buteau, who drops it. Graceland's going to get it back. Buteau had it bounce right off his shoulder pads, and the officials are going to unstack him, but I believe the Yellow Jackets have gotten it, and they have. Because you just don't see Austin Buteau not make that catch. You had to have taken a peek downfield.
Yeah, and we talked about it last time. And for Austin, it's okay to go ahead and call for the fair catch right there. The Ravens were all over the punter. They were just about to be able to block that thing. And now you're going to set Graceland up with a short field.
So the Yellow Jacket offense, a bit of a reprieve. We'll see what they are able to do and if they're going to be able to take advantage of it. Got Kyle Rowland. Look at him going wide to the left side on coverage for Benedictine. As again, Graceland and quarterback Ross are going to go four receivers in the pattern. Here's a straight-ahead run, hit behind the line of scrimmage, dancing around, trying to find some room. There's just nowhere to go. Running left, spinning around, running right, nothing there. Just finally diving ahead and only losing two.
That time getting over there to make the stop for the Ravens, you're going to get Brian Barrera, the outside linebacker out of Canyon County, California, making the stop.
Adarius Thomas just having a terrible time with that run. By the way, we're going to talk about the Graceland roster and why we're not giving enough credit to these guys' hometowns here in just a minute. Now it'll be five in the pattern. No one back there. This is what we talked about, the terminology this week of zero, right?
Yeah. So they're going to a zero blocking scheme, which means there's nobody back there to help out the quarterback. Cade Ross going to elude the first tackle. Just going to heave one deep to the end zone. Almost picked off. Down there it was Josh Morris, who had that ball in and out of his hands. And that time, Cade Ross made a bad decision. He was trying to throw to one receiver being guarded by four Ravens at the front corner of the end zone. Lucky that he's going to live for a second down. It'll be third and 12 now for Graceland.
Benedictine making some personnel substitutions on this third down call. 13 minutes to play in the first half. All these passes, no time taken off, all these incompletions, stopping the clock. They're going to have a diamond of receivers to the right side and a single man wide to the left. And wide to the left side for Graceland is going to be Felix Wade. QB is back, a little shovel pass forward, taken to the line of scrimmage, picking up a couple three down to the 30-yard line. And for Graceland, don't you just go for it? I mean, it's fourth down, you're at the Benedictine 30, fourth down at 6 or 7.
Yeah.
What do you lose here, really?
I don't think you have anything to lose for going for it. Cole Johnson comes over and makes the stop. He's a freshman out of Louisville. And now we're going to get a whistle and a timeout, Ravens, because, again, they were kind of in between the defense. They weren't sure what they wanted to do, and they're going to burn their timeout here, their second.
Let's stay right here. We've taken so many breaks for Joseph, and we've got more coming up here, I'm sure, very shortly. But for Graceland, as you look through the roster, the printed roster, the rosters that they email and share with us, the rosters if you go to the go online to the website, doesn't tell you where any of these guys are from. We have, you know, their position and year and school and their height and weight, things of that nature, and their number. But when it comes to hometown and previous school, we just don't know where the hometowns are.
Yeah, we get a lot of previous school, but, you know, some of them we can figure out, like North Little Rock High School. Got an idea that that's probably Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are some high schools on here that you're like, okay, that could be in a number of places. St. Mary's High School, okay? What was the other one? Washington High School, okay? Oak Ridge High School. Could be like in 43 states.
It's probably pretty close to that. So, here we go. Coming out of this break, here's what Grayson is looking at. A fourth down at the Raven 30-yard line. Fourth down and six. Cade back to throw. He's got some time. Slings it over the middle, and it's broken up. Nearly picked off, and I think that maybe the Ravens decided, as Josh Morris had his hands on it, that that would be unnecessary to pick it off on fourth down. And Benedictine is going to get the ball back. Boy, we hope you're enjoying this Raven game here today on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison. 12:42 to go in the half. And Benedictine with a 34-12 lead coming back out of the field on offense. So we've got that going on, and I guess we were talking earlier about we got a great halftime interview coming up here today. We've been spending the season visiting with some of the coaches. You know, a lot of new guys, a lot of new faces on the coaching staffs, and so we're trying to introduce you to them a little bit. Here's a pass over to the right flat. It's going to be caught. Picking up about 5 or 6 yards. Buteau over to the right side. And you know why they threw that to him, right? You get right back on that horse that just bucked you off.
Yeah, you got to just toss it out there, get him feeling good about himself. We're going to see Rayshon as being the running back in on this series. It'll bring up his 2nd and 5 for the Ravens.
So here comes Benedictine at their own 36. Motion toward the middle. Now they're going to slow it up. Wrap around handoff. Cut to the right side. 35, 45, 50. And pushed out of bounds along the near side. That was a splendid run by Rayshon Mills.
Yeah.
Having a nice afternoon.
What a job by Rayshon Mills. As he turned the corner, he got a great downfield block by his wide receiver, Austin Buteau. Helped spring that thing into Graceland territory. They're going to actually say he stepped out at the 48-yard line. So Ravens with it, 1st and 10.
Quickly, the wraparound handoff again. Same play, same way. Right side, 45, and hit and at the 40-yard line, a 9-yard gain again for Rayshon.
I know how much you love that, right?
Yep.
It worked so well. Run it again. Prove that you can stop it before we change the play call.
And again, at halftime, it will be Aaron Hauser. I got stopped before I had a chance to let you know who I've got on. He is an interesting guy with a lot of travel in his history. So I think you're going to enjoy our convo with him. Here's another straight-ahead run. Benedictine to the 40, down to the 35. Let's move the sticks. Derek Overstreet carries the ball to the, 35-yard line. 1st and 10 Ravens.
For Derek Overstreet, that's going to be his first carry of the football since he fumbled it early on. So good to see him back out there. Ravens now. Look who they just snuck into the game and are sending wide to the left side. Jacob Gathright.
Both guys who have had fumbles now have had a touch in this series and just kind of getting their game legs back. Motion will come toward the middle of the field on a 1st and 10 at the 35 and straight back to throw. Kettle looking, throwing deep over the middle. A man wide open. Touchdown, Ravens! That's Benedictine again. Straight over the middle. This time, 35 yards.
We just talked about it. Jacob Gathright sneaks into the game. What do they do? Decide not to guard him. He went across the middle of the field, wide open at the front of the end zone, caught a little bit of a pose pattern. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know anything about defensive football, but I do know that you got to card the best two receivers for this team. And I'm telling you, for Graceland, they've given up 40 points in, what, less than 20 minutes of football.
Oh, yeah. One more PAT effort coming up here. Last time the snap was not good. It wasn't good again here, but it was downed by Kettle, and it is up, and it's somehow good. Great job by both Garrett Kettle and Harry Balke to have that a successful PAT. Timeout. Joseph, we're going to take this one. Still, are you ready for this? 10:37 to go in the first half. It is Benedictine 41 and Graceland 12.
Hi, I'm Laura Weiser from Exchange Bank. In today's world of technology, online banks are popping up everywhere, promising better, more convenient banking. But there's still no better way to bank than with people you know and trust. Exchange Bank provides internet and mobile banking. But we're also here offering personal, face-to-face service you just don't get with online banks. Come see us. We're here for you.
Exchange Bank and Trust. Community-minded, that's my bank.
Whether it's normal automotive maintenance like oil changes and wiper replacement, or more serious repairs like starters and alternators, Atchison Auto Parts is your local stop for everything you need to keep your vehicle running at peak performance. Locally owned and operated, you'll recognize the car guys behind the counter, and they'll get you the right part. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, your independent Napa dealer at 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Johnny, but Benedictine be good today, because the Ravens have blown open to a 41-12 lead, and guess we're early in the ballgame. I mean, when you're less than 5 minutes into the second quarter, I consider that early in the game.
Oh, yeah. Early in the ballgame, the Ravens have scored on 3, 4, 5 of their 7 possessions have ended in touchdowns. They've also got an 86-yard kickoff return by Jayshon Todd, but I'm telling you, these young guys for the Ravens, having a big start to this game.
Okay, if you're Grayson, don't you just start throwing it. Just throwing it downfield. And this is Ross is being chased. He's running backward, and he throws it all the way to the track, kind of backward and over his shoulder as he's running into the end zone that was behind him. So that was just a retreat and throw it away. So here's what else I've got to give credit to for Benedictine. I'm loving the pass game and the way that they have just dissected this Grayson defense. I'm loving the defensive coverage, particularly the secondary that has given Grayson no open receivers. And remember, Grayson is supposed to be this tremendous passing team. You've got Cade Ross, quarterback in the club. Single running back on the right side is going to be Darius Thomas. He'll hand off to Thomas. No, quarterback's going to keep it. Boots right, throws right, diving catch. Is it made? And they're going to say yes. At the 35.
That time, Cade Ross did a great job as he boots out and approaches the line of scrimmage. He forces that backer to come up and either make a play on him or set back. And that time, the linebacker came up, kind of created a little bit of a void for Cade Ross to throw the ball to.
Benedict is going to shuttle some guys in and out of the defensive front. Did they have Eric Chavez out there, I think? He's down here getting stretched out a little bit. He's another big man. For Benedictine, Eric, 6'3", 290 out of Lancaster, California.
That time, Javi Bloomquist comes up and makes the stop. The Ravens are going to go to the bench. They're going to bring Heath Baker back in. They're also going to bring Isaac Anderson. So they're going to bring in their starting defensive front for this second down and 4.
On a warm afternoon, that depth on the bench has got to be just huge to be able to rotate players in and out, try to keep some of the guys fresh. 85 degrees outside here in Atchison right now. Second down 4 at their own 41. QB will flare it over to the right side again. Just a bullet thrown. Take it at the 50-yard line and pushed out of bounds right there by the Raven coverage. It'll be a first down.
That time, Blue Kaplinger, the junior out of Lewisburg, Kansas, makes a stop on the play, but not before. Grayson able to pick up another first down.
I've always thought that the great quarterbacks have it, and we talked about this already, probably going to say it a dozen more times today, have a touch on the ball. You know, they're able to lay it out there. They're able to let the receiver run underneath it. But I'm telling you what, if you're catching a pass from Cade Ross, you're kind of covering up. It's almost like as the offensive line goes offsides. It's almost like self-preservation and protect yourself. You got to catch that thing because he's throwing it at you so hard.
I'm surprised that it's taken the officials so long to talk about this.
It's taken the officials a long time to do everything today. But these guys are from Iowa.
It might be.
Full start, offense, number 77, 5-yard penalty, still first down.
That's going to be your big left tackle for Graceland, Zay Atkins, 6'3", 290-pound sophomore.
Yeah, but we know where he's from.
We do. How do we know that?
Because he was on the team last year. If you have a city on your board, it means you played last year.
Well, that means there are like five guys I've got the city for.
That's about it.
That's it. Okay, first and 15. Quarterback is back, throws it right. It's going to be caught, and maybe a yard on that reception. Blue Kaplinger again with the coverage for Benedictine on the far side right in front of the Graceland bench. Yellow Jackets coming into the ballgame today at 2-2, and they're in the North Division where the logjam is at 2-2. You've got Grandview, the number two team in the nation, 4-0 right now. Graceland, Clark, Peru, all at 2-2. Culver coming into the day at 1-3, and William Penn 0-3. Quarterback throws one downfield, and it's going to be way too high and well out of the reach of Trey Blake and goes incomplete. In the Hart South, out in front, you've got number 12, Benedictine, and of all people, and an unlikely individual, is Missouri Valley. Both of them at 3-1. Evangel 2-1. Baker and Mid-America 2-2, and Central Methodist cruising in at 0-4 in the South.
So we've got 8.5 minutes left here in the first half. The other games in the conference are at halftime.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about them here in a moment.
Well, there are 4 1:00 games, a couple tonight. Back to throw again. Cade looking over the middle, and it is caught. The 30 runs into a defender at the 20. And again, throwing the ball downfield this time to the number 5 receiver in the NAIA. That is sophomore Reggie Wilson.
Yeah, and if Reggie makes any kind of a move, he may score that. But instead, he ran right into the defender, Lamont Schomburger, and gets tackled.
Yeah, Grayson running up to the football and over the line of scrimmage to the Benedictine 25. 8 minutes to play. Second quarter. Flare pass right side, taking it a flat at the 20 and going down the right side and lunging out of bounds, picking up another first down. Catch made on the far side by Gerald Monroe.
Other games going on in the conference at half. William Penn, 14. Missouri Valley, 10. Baker, Clark, tied at 10.
Oh, my heavens, really.
Culver Stockton leads Central Methodist 10-7. So the night games were Grandview at Evangel, Peru State at Mid-America.
Gerald Monroe, who just caught that pass. We mentioned Reggie Wilson, the number 5 receiver in the nation. Gerald Monroe, the number 2 receiver in the nation. And again, Grayson throws the ball, and they throw it around a lot.
And they don't throw to a lot of guys, right? So that's
no.
What's going to help two of your receivers really pick up big yardage because they're about half of your receiving.
First and 10, Yellow Jackets at the Benedictine 11. Long count again. Ross looking him over. Straight back to throw. Chased out. Rolling right. Looking. Now throws it into the ground and out of bounds and out of play. He was being chased from behind, and he had hot pursuit coming.
Yeah, the Ravens did a great job of blitzing up through the middle and then being able to force Cade Ross off of his spot, get him on the run, force him to throw just an errant pass. That'll bring up now a 2nd and 10. Yeah, I mean, how's the flashlight on your phone? I mean, we may need that thing before it's all said and done here today.
You're concerned about that daylight today. I get you. It's not a bad idea. 2nd and 10 at the 11. And now the running back is going to shift over. That's Sabron Woods. He's out there now, the sophomore. Long count, 2nd down call. Back to throw again. Dancing around, rolling left, looking, now trying to direct traffic, now throwing one out the back of the end zone. He just said, I just can't get it to you. I'm just going to throw this away, and we're going to line this back up.
What are those, baseball fields over there? Yeah, trying to throw it out to the baseball field. And that thing was somewhere near first base. So with the incomplete pass, it'll bring up now a 3rd down for Graceland. This afternoon, Graceland, 2 of 8 on 3rd down opportunities. Last week, they were closer to half at 6-14.
You know, we talked about the good receivers that Graceland's got with Gerald Monroe and Reggie Wilson, number 2 and 5 in the country. But don't forget, Jacob Gathright is number 6 in the nation, 118-plus per game. Third down, 10 call. Graceland, quarterback pumps, rolls, looking, throws it, and it's picked off at the 8, and they're going to say it's dropped.
They're going to say it touched the ground as Blue Kaplinger dives for the football. They're going to say it skipped into his midsection. The official right on top of that play. It's going to bring up a fourth down for the Yellow Jackets. And,
you know,
there's no reason to kick it.
No reason.
What does 41-15 do that 41-12 doesn't?
Okay. They're both a loser. And here comes Cade Ross. So Grayson is at the Benedictine 11-yard line. It'll bring up a fourth down, 10. So
they got to get to the 1-yard line here.
QB's back. Steps up in the pocket. Now Chase, now rolling right to the end zone. Is it caught there? Touchdown. They pass into the right corner of the end zone. Is going to be hauled in. And with that catch, it's the freshman, Felix Wade. It is his first TD this year.
Yeah, Felix Wade is kind of the underlooked guy on this receiving core. 8 catches coming into today. He was the one guy that didn't have a touchdown that time. Catches it in the back corner of the end zone. And Graceland scores for the first time here in the second quarter.
They gamble a little bit on the fourth down call, and at 7:12 to go, they're waiting for the PAT, and they're going to go for 2. Everybody's staying out there, right? And they will. It'll be a 2-point PAT effort. So Baron Woods is going to be running back in the backfield. He'll break out. Quarterback is back, pumps once, pumps again, throws it. It is broken up, incomplete. Timeout of the field. 7:12 to go in the half. Benedictine 41, Graceland 18.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary retirement planning review. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning checkup, call Brandy at 913-379-8690 or search online at Hamada Atchison, Kansas. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
Subway makes it their priority to serve you the delicious meals you love in the easiest, safest ways possible. Order in-store, online, or through the Subway app for carryout service. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Check out their fresh melts, signature wraps, no bready bowls, and amazing salads. At Subway, under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
In Kansas, where Benedictine and Graceland entertaining a huge crowd this afternoon for family weekend here on the Benedictine campus. 7:12 to go in the first half still, and a game that began at 1 o'clock, so an hour and 20 minutes ago, and we are just halfway through the second quarter. Ravens 41-18 with a nice lead here. Good to have you back with us. Joseph, our producer engineer in the studio. Gus Couts to my left, Izzy to the right. I'm surrounded. Feel like a thorn between roses here, Tom Couts. And halftime.
I don't know about you. I feel like a rose between two thorns.
Halftime. Aaron Hauser is going to be with us, coach for Benedictine. By the way, I wondered why that game disappeared on me until it's over.
Yeah. Rock chalk, Jayhawks. Yeah, I think they're going into the top 25 this week, right? Had 4-0, knocked off 3-0 Duke this afternoon, 35-27.
So does Kansas have a legitimate Heisman candidate?
He looked really good today.
Here's a kick away taken just beyond the 10-yard line. Ravens back up to the 15, and a penalty marker goes down as the tackle is made. And down at the 32, Jay Sean with the return for BC. We'll wait for our crew. They've been methodical. How about that? That's the best I can go with.
So the Ravens are going to be out on offense. They're going to bring Derek Overstreet as the running back. Jay Sean comes out, but again, sneak into the other side of the field is going to be Jacob Gathright.
Yeah.
So if you're Graceland, go ahead and put a defensive lineman out there on him or something. I mean, about as effective as they've been today on trying to guard Jacob Gathright.
Buteau is on the near side for Benedictine. He's being covered by Darvey Robertson, a freshman defensive back. First and 10, Benedictine at their own 21. Little pitch, running back, trying to go to the middle and crossing the 25, getting beyond the, or the 20, and getting beyond the line of scrimmage and up to the 25-yard line. It is going to be Derek Overstreet, tackled by C.J. Welch.
Yeah, C.J. Welch with his second tackle of the year right there.
And again, the Ravens are going to go wide to the left side with Jacob Gathright. You know, you get a lot of schools who recruit well out of one area or another. You look at this Benedictine roster, and they have recruited widely and broadly from so many places. Here's a handoff left side. Overstreet puts his head down as he plants a foot, cuts back downfield at the hash marks, and it's going to be up two and pick up a first down across the 31.
That time coming up to make the tackle for Graceland, you're going to have a linebacker over there, Kai Davis, a senior out of Lusher High School.
Wherever
it is.
First and 10.
I'll give you high schools throughout the day, and you can pick out the state.
We'll make it up. Stick around in the backfield for Garrett Kettle. You might look at how Garrett's numbers looking at this big output here today. And he's just going to wrap around in the handoff, hit at the line of scrimmage. Oh, there's just no room this time. Back to the line of scrimmage, possibly a yard on the carry. No more than that for Rayshon Mills, who's back in the backfield.
Garrett Kettle is putting up really good numbers, right? He's 8 of 9 passing today, 190 yards and 4 touchdowns, and we're not even to intermission. Talk about KU's quarterback, Jalen Daniels, who you were just talking about. KU, 19 of 23 passing, 324, 4 touchdowns. He also ran the ball for 83 yards today. So, yes, he's not hurting himself from the national talk.
Second down, 10 for Benedictine. They're going to give it to him right back around the 31-32-yard line. Kettle is going to drop back, now being pursued, rolling, chased, throwing it away. Smart play by the Benedictine senior quarterback. There was really no good place to go with that ball as his protection kind of broke down.
You talk about the Ravens and where they really recruit from. A lot of California, a lot of Texas. Not many guys from, you know, Florida, the South Florida area, but, you know, I am willing to get sent to the 305 and start recruiting for them if they need that, okay?
Well, Coach Hauser is, in fact, the recruiter, the guy we're going to talk to at halftime. Maybe you can, you know, get some kind of a
game work on a tan.
Yeah. Benedictine does have a guy out of Molino, Florida. I'm not really sure. They've got a fella out of Pomona. Let's see, what other Californians do I see on the roster as I skirt through this thing? Here's a St. Louis, Missouri kid out of Rockwood Summit. I don't know that one either.
So the Ravens are going to take now out of the ball game LeBron Jackson. They're going to bring their tight end back in.
Long count. Ravens on a third down 15 call. Snap back, Garrett back. Looking downfield. Chase that again. He's got time. Look at him directing a little traffic. Now he's throwing, and he's throwing deep, and he's got a guy, and it's going to be caught at the 25-yard line. A headlong dive, and, oh, yeah, Jake Gathright.
That time, Jake Gathright working one-on-one with John Hervaux over there, and, again, no chance for Hervaux to keep up. And now if you look out there, Graceland's starting to maybe fall apart a little bit on defense. Justin Hooper, the sophomore receiver, is throwing his hands up, getting in the face of his safety on the other side. And again, you thought you had him backed up on third and 15, then a huge play right there will move the ball down into Graceland territory.
Benedictine, a first and 10 at the 27-yard line. Clock is finally rolling a little bit with this possession. 4.5 minutes remaining in the opening half. Motion will go to the left side, and here's the little jet sweep left to the 30, to the 25, down to the 20-yard line goes Omar Jaya Black. He is another young guy on the roster, a 5'9 freshman from Irvine, California. If you look at the Ravens' backfield, you do see kind of a California flavor. You've got Troy T.W. Crozier from California, Jayshon Todd from California, Rayshon is from California. Damon, California. I mean, you got a ton of them. Of course, your quarterback, Garrett Kittle from California. Omar Jaya Black and LeBron Jackson and Colin Payne and Ethan Perot. The only guy in the backfield not from there is Overstreet and Sean Wara. Here's Benedictine and a short gain down to the 15-yard line.
And that'll pick up a first down right there. Rayshon Mills on the third and short. The official's going to set the ball and then say, let's keep that clock rolling. 3.5 minutes left here in the first half of play. Benedictine with 342 yards. 236 of those through the air, 106 of them on the ground. Comparison, Graceland's ran the ball for 2 yards so far today.
Ravens with the first and 10 at the 16-yard line. 3 minutes to go. I was hoping for a 50-point first half. It won't happen, but here's Rayshon Mills into the left side of the line, following some of the big guys down there. And
you don't think it'll happen? Graceland is the king of these, like, 26-second offensive possessions. Right? I mean, and that's what we talked about. You throw the ball quickly, and if you go three and out, you don't take any time off the clock. But the Ravens are starting to milk that clock down a little bit. 2:45 left here in the first half. They're going to send a receiver wide to the left side. That's LeBron Jackson. He is a guy who we're seeing hasn't caught the ball yet today, but getting a lot more snaps in the last 2 weeks. Two catches for 15 yards last week.
Here's a QB back, looks right, throws right, has his man caught at the 5-yard line, first and goal, Benedictine and Ethan Perot. The fella out of Apple Valley, California. It sounds like a delightful place, doesn't it? Apple Valley. Perot with the catch. Ravens move the sticks, first and goal, Benedictine, 2 minutes left in the half.
Is that one of those places where you probably can't find an apple either?
There's not even an apple in town. There's nothing even painted red in town.
The Ravens are going to be out there with Derek Overstreet as your running back. On the left side, you're going to see Jayshon Todd and Austin Boutteau. Over here on the right, it will be Jacob Gathright. And you're going to go with tight end to the left side is going to be Reed Levi.
Here we come at the 5-yard line. They will bring the tight end Reed over to the right side. Wraparound handoff straight ahead and hit at the line of scrimmage and maybe chugging forward for a yard down to the 4. Very, very little territory gained in there. We'll talk about that Benedictine front line a little bit as you've got guys like Jacob Nielsen out there, 6'4", 287, out of Rancho Cucamonga. He's been one of the lead blockers on a lot of these drives. Ravens are going to take a timeout and talk about it. Joseph, I think we've earned one. We're down to a minute and a half to go in the half. Taking a break. Ravens leading it here, 41-18.
Hundley Liquor is your hometown liquor store with everything you can imagine. Whether you're in the mood to finish a great day by kicking back and drinking a domestic or imported beer, or maybe even a fine wine to pair with your dinner tonight, whatever your need, look no further. Hundley Liquor at 119 South 9th Street has got it. Beer, wine, spirits. Hundley Liquor, hometown friendly, hometown helpful in Atchison.
Someone once gave this sage advice on investing. Know what you own and why you own it. At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to understand what you own and why you own it. Whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with, give us a call at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Here we go, the Ravens coming out of the timeout. The shovel pass is incomplete at the 5-yard line. The defense was all over that one, Gus. It really had no chance.
Yeah, that's a play the Ravens have run a handful of times. The Chiefs run it all the time. And it's where you start the tight end on the left side, and you run the motion to the right, and you try to do that underneath, you know, middle screen shovel pass to the tight end. That time, it was just a tough pass, a lot of traffic in there. It's going to fall incomplete. Now the Ravens are looking at third and goal from the 4-yard line. I prefer when you post up your big guy, Reed Levi. He's going to be one-on-one here at the bottom.
And he is wide out from the tight end spot. They've sprung him out to the right side with three receivers to the other side. So Levi's all alone on the right side. Quarterback is back, looking at Reed, throwing at Reed. Reed catches it, and is it inbounds? Touchdown, Ravens! How about that, Reed Levi?
So before the play, the Ravens actually motioned the running back out of the backfield going to the left side because the safety had come over, and they were just going to double-team Reed Levi. And what a pass by Garrett Kettle into double coverage. He got Reed Levi, and Reed getting the foot down before he goes out of bounds. His fifth touchdown of the season.
And his touchdown per catch ratio is something off the hook right now.
Yeah, so for Reed Levi, he's got two catches today. So what? He's up to 10 catches, 5 touchdowns.
That's
not bad.
That's not bad. The PAT for Benedict then is up, and it's through Joseph. We'll keep it right here for you. How about that? Because Benedict has assumed its 48th point of the opening half. Minute 19 to go here before intermission, and the Ravens lead by 30 points. So, again, you know, there was a time, Gus, and we finally reached it. I mean, it took us years and years and years. We called it the unicorn, the 100-point combined score game.
Do you remember the first one? Wasn't it at Peru State?
It was.
Well, it was like in Auburn or something, right?
Yeah.
With Peru State.
Yes. And we had it one other time back here in Atchison. And then, I mean, 100-point games, combined scores, just ridiculous unless you're playing 6 or 8-man football. But today, you're looking at that scoreboard. You're seeing 48 with a minute 19 to go in the half, and you're thinking, do they have a 1 on the scoreboard?
Yeah, well, I've seen the Graceland defensive scheme today, and I'm going to tell you, you might need it. Here's the deal. It's not imaginative. It's not very good. And I'm not saying that they don't have good athletes out there. I'm just saying that, you know, you've got to be better about where you're putting your athletes. And right now, Grayson really struggling on that side of the football.
Cullen Bruner, high and end over end kick. It'll be taken on the run at the 7. Starting to the right side, crosses the 10, hit at the 20, going the wrong way, back at the 15, and shoved out of bounds along the near side. I'll tell you what, as a kick return guy, at some point, you got to plant that foot and head north, right?
Yeah, because he was all the way up to the 25-yard line, retreated, and they're going to start this possession at their own 19. So lost himself 6 yards, ran across the field, and again, you are not Devin Hester. Don't try it, right? And even Devin wasn't a run backwards guy. That was more of a Dante Hall style.
It was.
Yeah. Dante loved running backwards. Devin just used his speed to run by you.
Here's the problem with that. If it works, you make the highlight reels, but about, you know, what, 97.5% of the time?
It doesn't.
It's bad news. Here comes Graceland, deep in their own territory. Late going in the first half, quarterback being flushed out of the pocket, running, rolling. Now he's going to accelerate and quickly run out of bounds before a defender could put a hand on him. He'll stop the clock after a couple of yard gain with a minute 1 left in the half. Okay, we talk about this all the time. How many possessions you get in the game, and sometimes in the high school games, the teams that run a real ground-oriented ball control offense, as their opponent, you might only get 6, maybe 7 possessions in a game.
Graceland is starting their 10th possession of the day, and we're not even to halftime.
Second down, Yellow Jackets at their own 25-yard line. Long count. Cade Ross, two-step drop. Looks right, looks left, now steps up. He's got some room to run if he'd like to, but he doesn't. He throws, caught at the 40-yard line, and quickly getting out of bounds into the Benedictine sideline. After that catch is going to be Reggie Wilson. So Wilson continues to pad those big receiving numbers that he brings into the game here this afternoon, and we're 51 seconds left in the half. And this is kind of how Graceland does it. They'll throw that pass. Either it's incomplete, you run out of bounds, and either way, the clock stops. And Cade Ross now, hands on hips, looking over at the far sideline, and the coaching staff, see, get ready to telegraph something in.
They're going to have wide receiver Trey Blake in the backfield lined up like a running back.
QB's back. They will throw to Blake. He'll catch it at the 45, goes to the 50, and runs out of bounds. They're obviously doing the two-minute drill here, right?
Yeah, they're trying to run quick passes, get out of bounds, stop the clock, buy themselves some time. And right now, they only have one timeout left, 45 seconds left here in the quarter. Now, Cade Ross has had some big plays and been able to strike fast, but right now the Ravens have done a good job to this point of keeping receivers in front of the safety.
Here we go on a second down four call. Just across midfield into Benedictine territory. Back to throw again. Ross throwing deep this time down the right sideline, and he went over the outside shoulder.
Yeah, so the receiver turned in. The ball went over the outside shoulder of the receiver. It's going to fall incomplete. It'll bring now a third down for Graceland with 40 seconds left.
Since we like to give credit where credit is due, in the game a moment ago in that last play, and just checking back out again now, is Xavier Hernandez. Gus, he is, I'm going to call him a Phoenix, even though he was not. A graduate of Atchison High. And so, redshirt freshman Xavier Hernandez out in the game for Benedictine. Third down four. I just saw his grandfather walking around out here a minute ago. Third down four. Ross is back. Earned four down territory here at the 50. Pass over the middle is going to be broken up. And I think Javai Blomquist just ran into the football.
Yeah, I think he was a little confused. He looked up and the ball kind of just hit him in the midsection. Going to fall incomplete. That time they were looking for Reggie Wilson over the middle. Now it's going to bring up fourth down for Graceland. And it's a tough call right here if you're Coach Ross. I'd probably punt this thing because, again, you don't want to give the ball back to Benedictine at midfield with 34 seconds and a timeout. Especially with the way your defense is playing.
Well, Benedictine, remember the kicker, the quarterback has punted, what, four times?
Four times, yep.
Yeah. So it is not impossible that Cade Ross quick kicks this, and now we'll hold on to it here. Joseph, as Graceland is going to exercise another timeout. It is their third timeout. They've used them all so far here in the first half. So what do you do if you're Graceland? I mean, man, you hate to give it back to them that close to the 50. You'd like to keep a drive alive and get a score, but, you know.
I don't know. Again, I'm a bad person to ask this because I feel like you're down 48-18. The last thing you want to do is go down 55-18 at the break. So, again, I think you leave Cade Ross in there and let him just punt this thing and get to the break.
Okay, since he is busy and doing stuff a couple of doors down from us, we probably won't get a chance to ask Benedictine Sports Information Director Josh Pound, but to the best of your knowledge, what is the highest point total for Benedictine football?
Oh, it's in the game notes today. It was against Grayson that year. Was it 84?
Is that the max? Is that it?
Yeah.
Is it Jeopardy then?
Yeah, 84-12 and 18.
Okay. That was a pretty good year. 34 seconds left here in the half. And they will leave the offense out there. Ross is back to throw. Fires one deep, and he's got a man caught at the 15. That was a fingertip catch by Gerald Monroe. I mean, he reached out, held under it with the tips of the fingers, was able to draw it back into his body. And Graceland, another successful fourth down long pass play.
Was able to go check with Adam, and it is 84. Still the record.
First down at the 10. The pass into the corner of the end zone. Broken up. That was a great hit over there by Kyle Rowland to jar that ball free just across the end zone right adjacent to the pylon.
You talk about Kyle Rowland, a freshman out of St. Charles, Missouri, by way of by Francis Howell Central High School.
And now
the Ravens going to utilize their final.
I guess, why wouldn't you, right? I mean, this we're still in the first half.
Yeah, and you want to make sure right now you don't give up that score right here with 13 seconds. Because anything in the field of play for Central Methodist is probably going to end the half.
Yes, because, again, the only way they get a first down, you got to be inside the one. They can't get a first down, but it's, you know, it's going to have to be a very narrow band for them to achieve that. And neither team with a timeout remaining. 13 seconds left in the half.
Joel today in gray pants, white polo.
There you go. Coaching staff, well coordinated. Look at George out there, looking dapper.
And Patrick with his backpack, like always. He's ready to go.
Always.
So here we go. For Graceland. I still just can't get over this. So 10th possession of the first half here. We're nearing the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we're pretty close. 48-18 Benedictine. And they're going to spread them out sideline to sideline. No timeouts left for either team. Quarterback with his receiver to his left hand is back to throw. Fires one over the middle. Broken up in the middle of the end zone and incomplete. That was extremely well defended by the Ravens as, again, they're looking for Reggie Wilson.
And that time, Josh Morris over there to make the stop on the play. It will bring up now a third down with 9.7 left here in the first half.
Ravens on the sideline, getting the crowd involved. The crowd's kind of been rocked to sleep a little bit. The big lead early. Here's a pass into the end zone, and it's going to go incomplete. That was just superbly covered, and there was no chance at all of it being complete. And in fact, Cade Ross just kind of threw it into Jackson Hoskins' back as he was going downfield.
Well, and right there, if you're Cade Ross, go ahead and throw the ball because, again, holding on to it much longer would have got you into trouble. Throw the ball. It's going to be fourth down. 6 seconds left. This will be the last play of the first half, I say, for Graceland.
Maybe.
For Graceland. Let's put it that far.
Hit the 11. Back to throw again as Ross lobs one left. Corner of the end zone way too high, way too long. And despite him imploring the officials, they're not listening to the receiver out there wanting a penalty.
That defensive player of the week in the Heart of America Athletic Conference, Fabian Njika, over there in coverage.
So, Benedictine comes out.
Yeah, we got somewhere to go.
We got 1.8.
So for the Ravens, they're going to come out, line up in victory formation. I'm feeling this won't be the last time we see this today.
You think not? We'll see. And there's the knee, and there's half. We'll be back to summarize the opening half for you. Wilcox Stadium here on the Benedictine College campus in Atchison, Kansas, finds our score at halftime. Benedictine 48, Graceland 18.
Skyway Bank at 711 Commercial Street in downtown Atchison is always introducing new products with you in mind. Check out the selection of slim and foldable batteries, Delta gummies, carts, and dispos. If it's e-juice you want, Skyway Vapes has it, along with all of your vaping accessories. It's the vaping experience you want. Friendly, knowledgeable service with a range of products that can't be beat. Skyway Vapes, 711 Commercial in downtown Atchison. Open 10 to 9, Monday through Saturday, Sunday, noon to 7.
Amberwell Atchison is excited to announce the return of the Amberwell Health Fair, Saturday, October 15th from 8 a.m. to noon at Atchison Elementary School. With over 50 indoor and outdoor booths and activities planned, attendees can look forward to free health screenings, vaccinations, and blood tests, kids and adult educational activities, and lots of prizes and giveaways. Bring the whole family. It's sure to be a fun day for all. For more details, visit amberwellhealth.org.
Back as the Ravens and the Yellow Jackets exit the field. Band getting ready to go. Gusts of Benedictine fans here in great number. Wonder how many come back for the second half because they all know what's going to happen today.
Yeah, well, the Ravens scoring has gone down from quarter one to quarter two. They only scored 20 in the second quarter as opposed to 28 in the first quarter. Yards, 361 of them for the Ravens, but they've also given up 300 yards of total offense, 294 of those through the air for Graceland. Benedictine has 245 passing, 116 yards rushing, only four penalties this afternoon. So, again, it's been a good day for the Ravens and a great start as far as being able to jump out early, scoring touchdowns on their first three possessions.
Hey, we appreciate you being here, and stick around. We've got a great halftime interview coming up. We'll be back to bring you the second half line, but right now with the halftime score at Wilcox Stadium, Benedictine 48, Graceland 18. We're kicking it back to Joseph at the Care Sports Studio.
It's time for your Raven Halftime Show. Benedictine Raven football is brought to you by our title sponsor, Hamada Wealth Management. Amberwell Atchison is excited to announce the return of the Amberwell Health Fair, Saturday, October 15th from 8 a.m. to noon at Atchison Elementary School. With over 50 indoor and outdoor booths and activities planned, attendees can look forward to free health screenings, vaccinations, and blood tests.
kids and adult educational activities, and lots of prizes and giveaways. Bring the whole family. It's sure to be a fun day for all. For more details, visit amberwellhealth.org.
We've got Aaron Hauser with us, member of the coaching staff for the Benedictine Ravens. Coach, how are you today? Good to talk to you, man.
I'm doing well, man. I appreciate you reaching out. Just getting ready. It's a rainy Friday before the game, so hopefully it clears up a little bit and we're good to go tomorrow.
Well, let's start off with a little Aaron Hauser bio. You are one of the guys who's probably most traveled and has quite a extensive background in football and coaching. Tell me, first of all, about home. Where are you from?
Yeah, for sure. I come from San Diego, North County, San Diego, in a town called San Marcos. I graduated in 2010 from high school, so I'm 30 years old. After I was done playing in high school, I went on to Northern Arizona University and played there for a bit in Flagstaff, Arizona. And I graduated from NAU in 2014 with a business degree. Returned back to California, back to San Diego after graduating, and I coached for my father, who was my high school head football coach at Mission Hills High School. So I coached for 4 full seasons as a high school coach, and I was teaching math and did a little bit of special ed, and then decided that I love ball but wasn't in love with the classroom part of it. And so I went into the college ranks and found myself at a small school in the middle of Iowa, in the middle of nowhere, called Waldorf University, and coached receivers there for 2 years. And then Coach Wilcox here at Benedictine, going into his last season, which I didn't know at the time, interviewed me to take the receivers job here and replace the retiring coach Denny Murphy. And so I've been here ever since. This is my third season going on this year, and I'm the recruiting coordinator and receivers coach. Yep.
So let's talk about, you know, your early football days. Obviously, you were a player back in San Diego. What was your position? Tell me a little bit about your team.
Yeah, so I was a quarterback in high school. I was a 5'10" run around southpaw quarterback. And I also played receiver and returned kicks. So I had that background as well, but I was an offensive guy. As a young high school kid, freshman JV, I was a quarterback, and we were 19-1 while I was a quarterback as a young kid. We had a really good class. And then when I got to varsity as a junior, I made the transition to receiver because we had a senior quarterback who ended up going to the University of Montana to play quarterback. So that was my first year truly being full-time wide receiver. And then my senior year, went back to quarterback, unfortunately got hurt. I broke my arm my first game of my senior year at quarterback on a naked rollout pass play. And so that was a big bummer as a senior in high school. And I beat the doctor's estimate by 3 weeks and returned, again, really kind of against his recommendation. I casted it up my left arm and returned as a wide receiver and finished my high school career at receiver. So kind of battled through a little bit there. But, so I have background. I have an early background both at quarterback and receiver when I was young.
So then did you go on to play collegiate football?
Yeah. I went on to Northern Arizona, which is an FCS school in Flagstaff, Arizona, and played there for a little bit and then kind of transitioned more into like a coaching role, you know. I was just a scout team guy. I never got to play on Saturdays. Probably realistically for my skill set, I probably should have gone to a lower level school for me to probably have been more successful on the field collegiately. However, I don't have really any regrets. I really, really enjoyed NAU and my time there. I met my best friends in the world as well. So really enjoyed that. And then, you know, obviously stayed, you know, with the game as I moved back to California and coached at the high school ranks, like I said, with my dad. And we were really good, too, when I was coaching back in the high school level. I mean, we were one of the best teams in the state of California. Was fortunate enough to coach some really good ones. And then, you know, transitions into a college coach, and that's when the recruiting part of it, you know, started coming to play, obviously.
So if I were to ask you who your real football inspiration was, I'm thinking that your dad's top of that list.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, you know, I grew up in a football family. So, you know, Saturdays were college and Sundays were NFL and Friday nights. There's nothing like Friday Night Lights. So, you know, ever since I was young, I mean, I was a ball boy since I was 8 years old, you know, playing with my friends on the sidelines, watching my dad coach. So, I mean, it's just ingrained in me. Always has been. My mom is a big football fan as well. I think you need to have that in a football family. Is the gals also have to be pretty dialed in. So, with that world, but you know, I think that, growing up with football and doing it, you know, as long as I have, when you love it as much as I do, you know, it just seems like the right fit to do what I'm doing for a living now. You know what I mean? So, my dad's definitely my biggest inspiration. I mean, you know, he's been doing it for a long time. He's probably getting near the tail end of his career finally, but, just his work ethic and, you know, how much care he has for his players and the discipline and the culture that he has created at our high school. I mean, really everything I've learned is coming from him, you know, and then obviously picking up on other things that I've learned since I've been out in the Midwest from other really good coaches at the collegiate level too. So it's been a good mix for me being a West Coast guy out here, kind of bringing a different flavor for sure to the staff and to the team.
Visiting with Aaron Hauser, member of the Benedictine football staff. So being a San Diego guy, Chargers fan, I guess?
Used to be. Once they packed it up and left up to L.A., that kind of broke my heart. So I guess there's supposed to be a San Diego-Los Angeles rivalry, but L.A. gets the better of us in pretty much every sport that there is. So, you know, I got a lot of pride in San Diego. I got a lot of pride of where I'm from. I'm a Padres fan still, but Chargers not as much anymore. You know what I mean? So just a fan of the game, really.
Okay, for some of us who are less traveled than you are, all you hear is the finest weather on the planet is in San Diego. Is there anything to that? Is it really right?
Yeah, that's 100%. You know, they call it the AFC, America's Finest City, for a reason. You know, it's a special place down there. It's isolated, you know. Camp Pendleton to the north, which is the largest marine base in the United States. So that's just north of North County, San Diego. So it kind of divides San Diego and LA. It's this massive, you know, marine base. And then obviously to the south, you have the border, you know, into Mexico. And then, you know, to the east, you have the desert, which eventually you can travel far enough and run into Tucson and Phoenix and Arizona. But you know, that's a ways out. And then obviously to the west, you have the Pacific Ocean. So it's a very isolated area, which is, I think, what makes it such a special place. And I guess you don't really know how good you have it until you leave and you go to you know, the Kansas City greater area, and it's 100 degrees on Tuesday and then, you know, 60 degrees on Wednesday. You get a 40 degree difference this week in a couple days or whatever it was. So I'm more accustomed to that now, but you don't even realize that that's what the real world's like if you live in San Diego your whole life. So
now you talk about you left, of course, you know, the fabulous weather in your home area in California, and you end up in the Midwest. How in the world do you travel halfway across the continent? What's that story?
Yeah, I mean, when I was coaching for my dad, for those handful of years, that's when I got the itch to get to the next level. And, you know, to be honest, there's a lot of, obviously Southern California has so many great high school football programs, but there's not a lot of college programs, you know, not nearly as much as there is in the Midwest. And so when starting to search for avenues to get into college coaching, I ended up connecting with a gentleman. His name was Josh Littrell. He now lives in San Antonio, Texas, coaching high school ball, but Coach Littrell was at Waldorf and he had just gotten there, and he and I had connected, and he kind of found me, and I found him. And so we went through the interview process, and I ended up taking a bit of a leap of faith and moving to Forest City, Iowa, you know, a school that only has 400 people attending the school in a town of probably not even 2,000 people, you know, 45 miles from a Walmart, you know. So you talk about the culture shock. That was the culture shock right there, you know. to getting out and doing that, but I knew it was a business trip. I knew what I was doing. I was passionate about it, and we won a lot of games. We were successful. So moving to Atchison and being at Benedictine was a huge upgrade for me in terms of what this school represents and this football program and locationally being right next door to Kansas City. So I'm 100% at home, you know what I mean? Even though I still love being able to go back home and see San Diego and see my family and friends for sure.
Well, during your time at Waldorf, I didn't know, was there an overlap? Did you know Coach Finley?
Yes. My last year at Waldorf was Coach Finley's first year. So we coached together for a year. He's a good friend of mine. He was the defensive coordinator when I was the receivers coach for that 1 year. So when I left to come to Benedictine, I left, and then Coach Littrell, the former head coach there, ended up leaving probably a month or two right after me. I don't remember exactly the date. And then that's when Coach Finley was promoted. So I was only at Benedictine, and this was 2020. This was COVID, you know. So I was at Benedictine, but we weren't doing much yet. This was when the whole country was in lockdown. And that's when Finley was promoted, and I was here kind of getting ready to go. So I do have a great relationship with Coach Finley. I got a lot of respect for what he does up there and how he orchestrates his program and runs it. He does a phenomenal job. So definitely proud to have come from there and have been able to coach with him. And, you know, that was great.
Aaron Hauser with us, a member of the BC football staff, kind of getting to know him. Coach, let's see, you're traveling across the Midwest or you're driving to California and you're riding along in your car. What are you listening to? You got the go-to podcast? You're on an audio book? What do you got going on?
Yeah, I'm a pretty diverse guy, man. I'm a reggae guy, believe it or not. I guess that's the San Diego in me. So I'm a pretty laid-back guy off the field. The receivers, you know, and the coaching staff here know that. Pretty low-key once you step off the turf. I guess that's the West Coast blood in me. But I'm a reggae guy, but I'm a music guy for sure. I love music, all genres. So I'm all over the map, but I usually turn the volume up and I like driving. I haven't had to drive all the way to the West Coast recently. I've been in the air to do it, but out on the road recruiting and things like that. I'm on the phone quite a bit doing that to set up appointments and check boxes and find things out and do that. But if I'm not on the phone, I'm usually on the music. I'm a music guy, so that's kind of the route I take.
So do you have a special talent? Do you have a musical ability, or do you, you know, have some kind of a skill
No.
that we don't even know about?
I don't have any musical ability. I just enjoy it. My talent, I guess, was that when I was in college, as I was kind of wrapping up my collegiate career, both as a student and an athlete, and transitioning to being a high school coach, there was about three or four winters in a row where I was a professional snowboarder and professional snowboard instructor. So I got really, really good on a snowboard for a little part of my life there. So that's probably the big secret. My kids know that, but that's probably the big secret that I have, is that I was pretty good at snowboarding and riding, and I would travel between a few different states. I traveled through Colorado a lot, New Mexico, Utah, and then where I went to school at NAU, there's actually a ski resort about 25, 30 minutes from campus, pretty big one. So it was easy for us to escape and do that. So I was able to get on a board about 100 times a year, which is how that started to happen, and I started taking it seriously. So I have a little bit of that in my world, in my life, in my resume for sure.
So when you got downtime, and I know as a coach and with a family, there's not much of that, but do you have a hobby? Is there something that you do? I mean, do you collect figurines? Do you make chips in a bottle? What do you do in your time?
Well, I recently got engaged to Teddy Cerna. She lives in St. Joe right now, and I live in Atchison, so we kind of bounce back and forth between two places every night. Teddy, she played soccer at Mo West. And so our biggest hobby together is probably travel, to be honest. If we do have the opportunity, that's what we like to do, to get out and do things like that. See different people. Her mom lives in Tampa Bay, in Florida. My parents live in, obviously, San Diego, so we can go either direction, you know what I mean, and go. So we try to do that. I have friends spread out across the country, whether it's Texas or Arizona or Vegas or, you know, and obviously my Southern California ties, and then she's got family in Omaha and Florida and along the East Coast. So we try to travel as much as we can. We both try to stay in pretty good shape. I don't think I'm a superstar athlete, but I try to stay in as best shape as I can too, and so does she. So whether that means running or lifting or doing some kind, you know what I mean? So we'll do a lot of stuff like that, and we're young, you know, I'm 30, she's 29, so we're pretty aggressive in terms of our work right now. You know, we're both, our hobbies are right now is being good at work and spending time with people that we love. You know what I mean?
So we set a date?
Yes, June 10th. Next year, June 10th. It'll be out in Temecula, which is just north of San Diego, just in, just kind of inner from the coast, in an area called the Inland Empire. Really nice area, Temecula, Marietta. It's like wine country, so it's at a vineyard out there. So we're excited.
Outstanding. One last question. Childhood sports hero.
That's a good question. Growing up a Chargers fan, my era was LaDainian Tomlinson, you know. So that would have been one of the guys. Another guy that I was big on was Reggie Bush, growing up kind of a USC fan and him being a San Diego guy. And he's not that much older than me, but, you know, that was a guy that was really on top of the world, you know what I mean, coming out of high school and staying in California. Junior Seau was a big one. Junior Seau was a big one coming from he lived in San Diego, you know, went to high school there, then played at, you know, USC and then returned to the San Diego Chargers. So you talk about like a hometown hero type of guy for us, you know. And then, you know, I was a baseball guy too. So, you know, grew up watching Tony Gwynn and Trevor Hoffman on the mound. So, you know, I'm definitely pretty loyal to my San Diego roots if you can't catch the drift. And, some people will hate me for saying this, but the guy that I love still to this day is Tom Brady. I'm one of those guys. Just the way that he has competed the way he has for as long as he has is amazing to me. When I turn on the TV and I get a chance to watch him, I will. You know what I mean? So I just love how he competes. Now he gets people to play for him. And he might not be the flashiest guy, especially anymore, but I love how he, you know, motivates his guys and doesn't take it from anybody. And the biggest stat to me is winning, and he's the king of winning. So, you know what I mean?
Coach Hauser, we really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a busy schedule. You've been doing a great job with these Ravens, and we're all very glad that you decided to come to Atchison and join this Benedictine staff, and couldn't be happier that it's been such a great fit for you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm happy to be here, and hopefully we can keep, you know, putting a great product on the field and continuing to help these kids, you know, on and off the field. It's a great group of kids. You know, they're really passionate, they're hardworking, they're loyal, you know, and they care a lot about the community and the team and the school. So as long as we keep getting out there and giving it our best every week, I think we're going to be in good shape, you know. So
Aaron Hauser, thank you very much, man. I appreciate it, and go Ravens.
Thank you. Go Ravens. I'll talk with you soon.
KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison, on the air at 93.7 FM, online at msconews.net. Click the Listen Live tab to connect with our entire family of radio stations.
Get your tan on at Snap Fitness. You don't have to be a Snap Fitness member to take advantage of their great tanning deals. With 3 tanning beds, appointments are available from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Monday through Thursdays and 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Call them at 913-367-1511 to schedule. Get your tan on at Snap Fitness, 409 Commercial in Atchison.
Thanks for listening to the Raven Halftime Show, brought to you by our title sponsor, Hamada Wealth Management. We now rejoin Tom and Gus live at the stadium for second half action.
Hey, welcome back to Atchison, Kansas. the Benedictine College campus in Wilcox Stadium, where we're getting set to go to the second half with the Ravens in front of their visitors from Graceland University in Lamoni, Iowa, 48-18. Joseph, our producer engineer in the studio. Joseph, you did a better job at halftime than I did with that. Good work. Thank you so much. Gus Counts with me here, Tom Counts. And here's the kick by Grayson. It's a worm burner picked up by an up man at the 25, 35, 45, 48-yard line. That is a pretty splendid return by Harry O'Neill.
Harry O'Neill's having a great day, right? He had the blocked punt. He has a kickoff return that he took out to, what, near midfield. They're going to mark it maybe to 47. I think they're still trying to figure out where they're going to put this thing down. But good game already for Harry O'Neill. The Ravens going to put their offense out on the field. Buteau is going to be near side to us, way up near the Graceland sideline. Is going to be Jacob Gathright.
We were talking about Clark as they are battling Baker.
I think it was 12-10 in the early second quarter, or second half.
Motion to the near, handoff up the middle, 50, 45, and a Raven first down, and Grayson says the ball has popped loose. The official says it did. Benedictine turns it over on the first play of the second half. And here's the deal, guys. The Ravens scored a ton of points, and you know the offense just clicked, clicked, clicked. But Benedictine has been guilty of some turnovers in this game, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, two turnovers already today. And, again, coming off that game last week with Clark, they had four turnovers, two fumbles lost, two interceptions by Garrett Kettle. So, not exactly where you want to be. And for Graceland, what, they have just the one turnover and interception on the very first possession of the game where Gavin Spangler was able to step in front of a pass.
So for Graceland, you put that whole giving them the ball to begin the second half thing out of your mind because it was good for one play. You're going to begin with penalty markers, actually, is where you begin.
You're going to begin with first and 15. Because Zay Adkins, one of those holdovers from last year's team, is going to be outside. I'm going to say that our microphone no longer working down on the field. He's beating on that little box a little bit, trying to figure that out.
Make it go. So it goes back to their own 39-yard line. Graceland, as you call it, first and 15. And the crowd, which was phenomenal, is maybe dwindled a little bit at halftime. QB's back to throw, steps up, and does a great job of keeping his balance, lunging forward to only lose a yard or two. Tyler Wilson, the defensive end for Benedictine.
So Tyler Wilson is going to get credit for another sack right there, his second of the afternoon.
Second down, 16. Yellow Jackets at their own 38-yard line. So, yeah, with the coaching staff, you know how those guys love to come in Sunday and say, well, yeah, you did okay, but, you know, have some things to work on. That the turnovers, and they were both ugly turnovers, by the way. Here's a pass caught and an immediate tackle, a gain of 5. It'll be a third down 10. So both of those fumbles, the one by Overstreet and the one here by Rayshon, not good fumbles.
Nope. And here's the deal. I'm not going to let running backs off the hook when it comes to fumbles. Your biggest job, hold on to the football.
Quarterback's back. He's just throwing deep over the middle, and it is incomplete at the Benedictine 20-yard line. And that time, Cade Ross just says, you know what, we're not having any luck running the ball. Let's just throw it as hard as I can, and the coverage downfield was quite nice.
He was looking for Gerald Monroe, but quickly down there for Benedictine, you had Joel Mavis, and Mavis is having some words with Monroe as they come back. Look, Grayson's trying to snap the ball. Their wide receiver isn't even back.
And now the coach coming out of the field, they take a timeout here.
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yep.
We're not going to do it to you, Joseph. So Graceland has utilized its first timeout.
No, Benedictine utilized the timeout.
Benedictine, right.
Because they weren't sure what they were going to do on the fourth down, so they had the defense out there. You had half of the punt return unit, and weren't really sure what was going to happen right there. So the Ravens had to burn a timeout, and Coach Osborne not really happy about that, doesn't seem.
Now, with a minute 14 gone,
okay,
we got a minute 14, and we've had two possessions, one full three and out, and now you've used a timeout. The second half's not going much differently than the first half. You know, it's taking some time.
So, here we go. Ravens are going to send the
defense? Yeah, they're going to send the defense back on the field, and they're going to figure whatever Grayson wants to do, that's fine. We're going to leave the defense out there.
Got Joe Mavis wide to the far side, a cornerback over there with his coverage over the top on the wide receiver, Gerald Monroe. You got single coverage on the near side of the wide out, and now you've got Grayson shifting a lot of players in and out. Now they're going to bring one in and take one out. So both teams seem a little undecided about this fourth down call. This is a big one. Fourth down at your own 45-yard line, fourth down and nine. There's that quick kick we talked about, and it is going to go to the 25, down to the 20. The Ravens are just going to stay away, and that's smart. Now there's a penalty way back up the field. I can't imagine what that was.
See, again, it's going to be the same thing we talked about a moment ago. Joel Mavis and Gerald Monroe have been having words for like the last 5 minutes of real time, and I have a feeling that this one's going to go against Monroe, because Mavis came off looking very proud of himself.
He was applauding going off the field. That's usually a sign.
If that's what that is, let's say it's a 15-yard penalty. You were going to get the ball at the 15. You move this thing up to the 30. That would be just a kick for Grayson. See if the microphone's working this time.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, number two of the kicking team. 15 yards at the end of the run. That's number two's first.
There you go. Gosh, you were spot on. Gerald Monroe, the freshman and the number two receiver in the NAIA, coming in here today. I don't know if he'll maintain that lofty perch at the end of the afternoon, but
he's done nothing to hurt himself, right? Gerald Monroe, 12 catches, 206 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah. He came in today with 32 catches on and 513 and 5. Here's the Ravens going to the right side, crossing the 30, 35, and short of the 40-yard line, up to around 38, 39, about a 7-yard gain on a first-down sweep to the right side.
That
so,
time,
nice
Derek,
start.
Yeah, Derek Overstreet running the ball right there.
Ravens are going to bring in some different numbers. You got Ethan Peratt checking back into the game. He's been getting more and more PT, hasn't he?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of PT from him at least today.
So three to the left and a tight end on the right side. It's going to be Reed Levi. Wraparound handoff and again Overstreet. He's going to be hit, falls at the line of scrimmage. And here's the thing. Derek Overstreet out of Owosso, Oklahoma, tackled by the nose tackle John Mitchell, given up to John Mitchell 150 pounds, something like that. He needs just a little bit of daylight. He needs a little room to go. Those are the latest numbers that we have right there. Third down and a couple for the Ravens from their 39-yard line. And we've got a player that they're taking a little bit of a look at out on the field right now. And Joseph, I think we're going to have a minute. Let's take a minute. Sorry to interrupt you, Joseph, but we're going to take a break at 12:45 to go in the third. It remains Benedictine 48, Graceland 18.
The new Fall Blizzard Treat menu is at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill, and it's got all the fall, featuring returning favorites like pumpkin pie and new flavors like cinnamon roll setters, Reese's Take 5, Snickers Brownie, and more. This may be the fallest Fall Blizzard Treat menu lineup of all time, and it's all blended together in delicious, world-famous DQ soft serve. Try all the flavors at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary retirement planning review. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning checkup, call Brandy at 913-379-8690 or search online at Hamada Atchison, Kansas. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
Back with you here in Atchison, Kansas, and injured player being helped off the field for Graceland. They'll take a look at him on the far sideline, and Benedictine will bring his offense out, looking at a third down two at their own 39. Quarterback starts to pitch, keeps it. Look at Garrett go at the 45 and up near the 50-yard line. That was a nice 10 or 11-yard run. Garrett Kidlin. I love the fake. We have not seen that play this year.
Yeah, you turn, you fake the pitch to the running back, and then you take off up the middle. Great job right there by Garrett Kittle, the senior quarterback, finally making the stop. The strong safety, Isaiah Slaughter, a 6-foot freshman for Graceland. But you know the other thing the Ravens are trying to do? Trying to get that clock rolling and trying to maybe get a little momentum here in the second half.
Maybe trying to get some time run off this clock as the temperature continues to rise here. We're after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's 87 degrees now here in Atchison under bright sunny skies. Quarterback is back. He's throwing deep, and he's got a man, and it's caught at the 10, at the 5, down to the 2-yard line, first and goal. That is freshman wide receiver Colin Payne, P-A-Y-N-E out of Mission Viejo, California.
Yeah, and look, Colin's in a little pain as he comes off the field. He's telling the coach, I got to get out of here because the way he came down, just kind of came down hard when somebody's trailing you from behind. Buteau quickly racing back into the ballgame for the Ravens on this first and goal.
Also, who's that coming in for Benedictine out here? 3-1. Who am I got checking in? Spencer Witt?
No, it's 2-1. That's awesome.
Is that 2-1?
Yeah.
Wow. I got to get the bifocals straightened out somewhere, man. What in the world?
Numbers are a bit wonky on these new jerseys.
The turnaround handoff, and that's Overstreet. He's just running into the middle of backs of people, and there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, Derek Overstreet, not the biggest guy in the world, at 5'8", 180 pounds. He's got to find a little bit of a gap. That time, he just relied on his power, and there just was no going in the middle. It'll bring up second and goal from the 2.
That was Gunnar Hollis, linebacker for Grayson, making that tackle. I was going to mention this a little bit ago and then never quite got to it, but for Derek Overstreet to be a successful running back, he's just a little room, little daylight. He's not going to be that power guy. He's going to be that agile, you know, dart around guy. He's going to run around you, but not probably going to run through you. Here's the pitch to Overstreet, and he drops the ball again, picks it up, and covers it up, and a big loss on the play for Benedictine. So, Gus, where does that one land? Whose hands is this on?
That's on Derek, and that's why he's going to quickly come out of the ballgame. They're going to bring Rayshon in because it wasn't a bad pitch. It was right there. Just, I think is what happened with Overstreet was trying to look up and find where the hole was going to develop instead of watch that pitch in and aim for the pylon. Ravens are going to take out a handful of players. They're going to bring into the ballgame Gathright. They're going to bring in Jayshon. They're going to take out Reed Levi. They're also going to take out of the ballgame, who's that going to be? Tanner Zimmerman, the freshman tight end.
Well, Benedictine, after that loss, is looking at a third and goal. Now they're 12 yards out. Motion toward the middle is Jayshon. QB's back. Rolling to his right. Robin over here.
Now
throws it, and it's going to be incomplete. Way short, not really very close around the 2-yard line. But
yeah, Jayshon wide open in the middle of the end zone, jumping up and down with his hand up. And so,
not the first time we've seen that. You know, when Garrett gets focused on somebody, we'll see him like really kind of zone in on a guy. And we have seen Jayshon wide open on the opposite side more than once this year.
Yeah, Harry Balky going to come in to attempt a field goal. Well, we're going to spot it at the 19, so call it a 29-yard field goal.
I got Harry. See that on his right hand? That is not just like some fashion statement. Harry broke a bone in that hand. So this is why he's regimented to kicking only today. The kick is up. It's good. And how about that? The Ravens had a field goal at points. We take a timeout. 9:38 to play, third quarter. Benedictine 51, Graceland 18.
The new Fall Blizzard Treat Menu is at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill, and it's got all the fall, featuring returning favorites like pumpkin pie and new flavors like cinnamon roll centers, Reese's Take 5, Snickers Brownie, and more. This may be the fallest Fall Blizzard Treat Menu lineup of all time, and it's all blended together in delicious, world-famous DQ soft serve. Try all the flavors at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison.
Lewis Chevrolet Buick is your trusted Buick Chevrolet dealership in Atchison, and the reason why their loyal customers keep coming back. From the time you enter the showroom or service center, you can expect to be treated like family, each and every visit. Lewis Chevrolet Buick, dedicated to providing exceptional customer service and being an integral part of the Atchison community. See them at 314 Woodlawn.
Yeah.
kick is away, and it's over the head of the return man.
Wow.
Didn't he touch it?
He did.
He leaped up at the 5-yard line. It glanced off his hands. Then it doesn't go into the end zone. It bounces perpendicular. It goes out of bounds at the 3-yard line. That is about as tough as it gets right there.
And Harry Balke is over here giving fives to Colin Bruner. That's not good.
No.
Because that was a perfect kickoff for the Ravens right there.
So here comes the Grayson offense. Because this is always where you like to joke and get around. Letting in the playbook, you can't call from here. They've got all the room in the world to work with. 97 yards from the end zone.
And if you're Cade Ross, you're saying, all right, here's 97
yards. This is
yards
right up his alley.
This is 97 yards I can add to my stat line today.
Yes. Well, the stat line, not bad today, throwing the football. First and 10 at their own 3. The entire backfield for Graceland is standing in the end zone. Very long count, and before the snap, whistles blowing, I think they ran out of time.
Thanks.
So the penalty's only a yard or so.
Yard and a half.
Number 1,
half
the distance to the goal, first down.
Yeah, I mean, what's that going to hurt? Not too much. And they will move it back. Now, just beyond the 1-yard line, Graceland. Quarterback's back, throws one right back, picked off at the 10, down to the 9, dragging a defender to the 5-yard line. The Ravens with the interception, and when you talk about short fields, this is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, now you're going to get a little barking over there by Graceland because that was intercepted by Joel Mavis. Mavis was working against Monroe, got the 15-yard penalty on Monroe a minute ago, and they just stepped in front of him, took his lunch away from him, first and goal for the Ravens.
Yeah, the officials had to kind of step in and make sure and separate the guys in the white jerseys and the guys in the red jerseys, and now the BC offense comes out on the field. And for Benedictine, there will be a different little bit of a look, I think, right? Let me take my time and take a look. And running the ball club for Benedictine now this afternoon is going to be Luke Laskowski. Luke is sport number 10 here this afternoon. So Luke Laskowski, the 6'3 junior from Baldwin City, Kansas. Snap is back, wrap around Overstreet. He'll try to get outside to the 5, to the 3, and maybe down to the 2-yard line. And look at the block and go all the way out the back of the end zone back over here.
That time he was following the blocking out there for the Ravens. You have Bryce Nichols out there also leading the way. You had Avery Fowler, a freshman out of Creston, Iowa. 6'5", 230-pound freshman offensive lineman.
Freshers are going to spot this down to the 5-yard line. They'll say his knee went down there. Laskowski, the quarterback again, running back to his right hand. It is going to be second to goal for Benedictine, still at the 5-yard line. Luke rolls right, throws right, overshoots his intended receiver. It's Colin Payne out there on the right flat, but it will go incomplete. So for BC, suddenly it is third and goal from the 5-yard line. Overstreet will exit the lineup, and in for Benedictine, Gus, the guy we have not seen much today, Damon Wiegand.
Yeah, good chance to see Damon and maybe get him in the end zone last week. 1 carry, 5 yards. Looking for his first touchdown in the season. This would be a good time to get it.
Wiegand to the left hand of Laskowski. Lucas back. Throws it off balance into the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens! Colin Payne with the catch. Laskowski to Payne, and Benedictine with 8:43 to go in the third quarter stretches its lead.
Well, that was a pretty easy little pitch and catch right there. Laskowski did a great job of standing up, finding the wide open receiver in Colin Payne. All you had to do is make sure you looked that thing in all the way.
And Harry in, and they're also going to let Luke hold on the PAT, which is probably good for everybody to get a little
good live practice,
little
right?
PT. It is down and up, and it is good. Ravens continue to score, and we'll take another break now at 8:43 to play in the third quarter. Benedictine, 58, and Graceland, 18.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room, locally owned and operated. Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill, and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods, plus great beer, wine, and spirits, you'll always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room, at 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Start your day with Taco John's breakfast, scrambler breakfast burritos, spicy chorizo breakfast burritos, potato ole scrambler, Mexican donut bites, cold brew coffee, and more. And wake up Wednesday mornings for meat and potato burritos, just $1.99. All that at Taco John's in Atchison. Bigger, bolder, better.
Kickoff unit is out on the field, and here comes sophomore Cullen Bruner from Marceline, Missouri, to put a toe to it, in over in the high, and it will be caught on the run of the 7-yard line. Up the right side between the hash marks and numbers, crossing the 25 and angling out toward the far sideline in the Graceland sideline. It's going to be first and 10 Yellow Jackets, around their own 28.
See, good things happen when you field the ball cleanly, and that's what they finally did right there. The last possession, you got to remember, it was set up by a Graceland miscue on the kickoff return. They tried to field it. It bounded out at the 3, and so that possession never got started well. Here we go. Possession number 13 of the afternoon for Graceland. This will be already the third time they've handled it here in the second half. Benedictine scored touchdowns 55 seconds apart.
Here's the thing for the Ravens. You're gonna we always talk about that Sunday morning review of the film, and now we've got to stop a play and a penalty.
25 seconds. Started on my whistle.
Okay.
Reset the play. You're
resetting the clock. But you see, it's going to look at some things and say, you know, I do like a lot of things that happen. Of course, anytime you score this many points, you're going to score 60, 70 points today. BC in the red zone today is 5 of 5. Okay, that's a pretty good start right there.
Yeah, 5 of 5 in the red zone, you're going to take that most any time, right?
Your yards per completion, 22.9 yards per completion. And that's just a crazy, crazy kind of a number.
Well, and for Graceland, here's the thing I can't figure out. You're getting 15 yards of completion. You've got 308 yards of offense and 18 points.
Yeah. Quarterback back to throw. Cade Ross again throwing deep like he's done all day, and that's picked off again. Ravens with another interception at the 40, 45, depth to the 50, and down the left sideline. Oh, there's a huge hit over there. Was he still in bounds when that contact was made by Lamont? And we have a little more
everywhere. So here's the deal. I'm not so sure you're not going to get a roughing the passer against the Ravens, and you might also get a penalty on the sideline.
This thing's not gone well here in the second half.
Just really not sure. That penalty back there at the 10 is the one that I can't figure out. So Grayson's leaving his defense out on the field, but I do think we're getting an unsportsmanlike conduct against the Ravens.
I see the unsportsmanlike call being signaled in from the sideline here.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, number 90 of the defense, 15 yards from the end of the run. First down.
Okay, so it's going to go back to around the 50? Ravens going to have their offense out of the 50, is that right?
Yeah.
Ish?
Yeah, 45-ish, yeah. You're right.
You know. So I don't know why everybody's down at the 10-yard line is what I'm trying to figure out.
Because you're going to be there shortly?
Well, that may be. Just kind of getting a jump on the 5 o'clock traffic.
So for the Ravens, Luke Laskowski going to stay in at quarterback. Your running back for this series is going to be Damon Wigan. That's good for Damon. Give him a chance to kind of build up some yards, get some good things to happen, because this year has been a little uphill climb for Damon.
Tell you who's in the game wide to the near side, too. A senior who we haven't seen old enough of, maybe, Pete Cadena. Pete's been a big part of this program for the past 4 years out of El Paso. Again, receivers 4 each way, a little wraparound. Damon will take it to the 50-yard line, picking up 5 on a first down run. and clock rolling along, but it's still over 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. Benedictine in front, 58-18. And here in a little bit, we'll see if we can catch up on any of the other conference scores, because some of these games got to be over, right? Or pretty much?
Goodness, you would think so. With 7 minutes left in that Clark-Baker game, Baker leading Clark 19-10. See if we can find you some other scores going on around the heart.
That's a big score, though, when you get that nine. Here's a handoff straight ahead, and there is a one-yard gain for Damon.
William Penn leading Missouri Valley 21-10. That ball game has 2 minutes left in the contest. Culver Stockton leading Central Methodist 20-7. That thing just getting started in the fourth quarter. And again, the two night games this week, Grandview at Nixa taking on Evangel, and Peru State will be at the ODAC tonight taking on Mid-America.
So on a third down four call, Damon Wagon will come out of the game, and Benedictine will go with no one in the backfield with quarterback Luke Laskowski. Motion to the near side, and Laskowski runs into the running back, who takes the ball, going to lose a bunch of yardage. We'll see when he gets done running around where they finally put him down. And that went, it started off really bad, and it just kind of got worse. So
it just kept snowballing.
Going to go the other way.
That time, the freshman wide receiver, Troy T.W. Crozier, running a little end around, stopped, came back, and when it's all said and done, the Ravens are going to be looking at a 4th-and-13, and for them, how about this? Only their second punt of the afternoon.
Colin Bruner is going to settle in at the Benedictine 25-yard line, return man for Grayson at his own 23. Trey Blake is back there. Trey's had a lot of returns today, but pretty much after kickoffs. Still 6:15 to play in the third quarter, and the Ravens leading 58-18. This kick is away.
Wow.
It's a nice one over the head of the return guy, bounces it to 15 and shoots in two and then out the back of the end zone. So
Colin a little upset with himself because he's trying to knock that thing down, but we do have a penalty marker right around the 45-yard line. So
okay, penalties. We've talked about this as the season has gone on for Benedictine. Early on in the season, they had a lot of penalty trouble, but kind of beyond that a little bit last week. But I'm seeing more penalties than I think we would like to again here today. We'll wait for our crew to figure this out.
Holding, receiving team, number 7, a 10-yard first down.
Okay. Now all of a sudden kicking in the end zone doesn't look so awful.
There.
You're going to back this thing up to what, about the 15-yard line or so?
Probably something like that. Benedictine 5 penalties for 55 today, and that's a half a dozen penalties for about 45 for Graceland.
Look
6:02 to go in the third.
I'm going to mark it down at the 10, but look at the total plays today. Benedictine has scored 58 points on 47 plays.
And they've been, we would call that efficient with their offense. And again, when you're averaging 23 yards of reception, here's a straight-ahead run for fat yardage, crossing the 20, crossing the 30, and up to around the 32-yard line. So that's a 22-yard run. That's off base left. Right
yeah,
there.
Spencer Witt makes a stop on the play for the Ravens. And now, quickly, Graceland back up over the football.
Yellow Jackets hurrying up, and here's again the wraparound handoff. Hit in the backfield, trying to get to the edge, but just nowhere to go over there as Adarius Thomas has been covered up really, really well by the Ravens. They forced him to the outside, ultimately losing a couple of yards around the 30-yard line, leaving him with a second and long.
That time for the Ravens. Great job getting back there. The first guy to turn that play in was Xavier Hernandez, a freshman out of Atchison.
Good to see Xavier getting some
and now,
quality PT.
Now Coach Ross is blowing a gasket on the sideline because I feel like they probably just got to delay a game.
Both are offside.
Okay.
Number 92 the defense. It's 5 yards. First down.
So we got the ball start, like, indication, but the defensive offside call. Well, all said and done, it will assess yardage against Benedictine after the 35-yard line. So second down and a half does in Graceland. 5:15 to play, third quarter. Rolling along. That's right, third quarter. Still a lot of football to be played here at Wilcox Stadium in Atchison, Kansas. Family weekend, and really a lot of people hanging on here for this. And now he's throwing it deep down the right side. He's got a pair of receivers, and it hits him in the back.
It hit the helmet of the cornerback, Kyle Rowland, bounced into the air, and that time, Yannicka Fundegale made a diving effort. He was going to try to intercept it when it's all said and done. It's going to bring up third down now for Graceland, and it's just kind of been that kind of an afternoon.
Now, tell me, as a offensive-minded guy, which I take you to be, is there really a play drawn up, or was that a mistake when you have two receivers virtually holding hands going down the field and down the outside line?
Yeah, that's not how you drew it up.
I wouldn't have thought so, but I guess you'd double your number of guys
Thank
to
you.
Pull it in. Third down, 7 at their own 35. One step drop, Ross over the middle, and again it hits the defender in the back.
That time it went off of Blue Kaplinger's helmet, incomplete, and wow.
So
when was the last
got
time you saw back-to-back times defenders got hit in the helmet?
So what you got is Cade Ross playing dodgeball out
yeah.
here, right?
Yeah, he's really good at it. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge, right?
Exactly. Fourth down and 6. And it would appear that Graceland is going to be punting it away. Line of scrimmage is the Graceland 35-yard line. Snap is back. It's clean, and the Ravens don't quite get there for that block. It will bounce at the 40, take a big Grayson bounce and really tumble deep into Raven territory, going inside the 15-yard line down to the 14.
Look out there, Spencer Witt telling the punter. He said, "I almost got you that time."
He did too. He got. He was in a. He was in a close
vicinity.
Yes.
Hey, I feel like we have people on the road right now. Case, Lola, Emma.
What?
Yeah, tell me, say hi to those guys. And Ravens leading this thing. 58-18, still a lot of football left to be played. 4:46 left in third quarter.
Have they been? I hope they've been somewhere and had a good time. You think?
Always. Name a time they don't have a good time.
It's a good time crew right there. Benedictine with the ball from their own 15. Back to throw. Luke looking, and finally goes to the safety valve on the near side and undershoots him.
That time they were looking for Pete Cadena, who had just kind of funneled out as your safety valve around the 30-yard line. It's going to fall incomplete, and for Lizkowski, he's going to fall to 1-3 passing this afternoon, but does have a touchdown. It'll bring up second down.
I think you've got Grayson also taking a page out of the early Benedictine defensive handbook as they've aligned fewer guys at the line of scrimmage and are dropping more back into coverage in the secondary. Trying to deal with that passing game. Second down, 10. Pass over to the left flat. It's going to be caught, and an immediate tackle is going to be made at the 20-yard line. And, again, I think that was going to be Cadena with the catch.
Yep, Pete Cadena with the reception right there. Also in the ball game now for Benedictine, you're going to get Zach Bierman, a senior wide receiver out of Tomball, Texas. He'll be out there.
Also returning is going to be Damon Wigan, the senior from San Marcos. He's going to be back in at the running back spot. Third down, 4 for Benedictine at their own 21-yard line. We're down now to 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. Benedictine leads by 40. So,
you don't say that enough.
You can never say that enough. Here's a pass over to the left side. It is going to be caught and falling forward very near. The first down is going to be Colin Payne. No, that's Ethan Perrott. Ethan with the catch. And it's all in the spot by that official over there, and he's looking and eyeing it.
He needs to get to the 25-yard line, and the ball is no short of it. So Raven's going to send the punt unit out. Not sure why.
I was going to say, you don't just push this one forward for that inch or two?
I had to go ahead and take down my roster because I feel like we're going to need this thing the rest of the afternoon.
Here we go with Grayson sending Trey Blake. You know, he's out of Ogall High School. Blake is at his own 30-yard line, and Bruner's kick, that's another really good kick. He's been great today. It bounces 35, and he's allowed to go to the 30. Now he touches it down here at the 23. Is it a live ball? Did he put that, touch that and make that live? The official is over here marking, or did it just go out of bounds? That was a very silly play. They're going to say it's Grayson ball, but I thought for a minute there was no question Trey Blake could reach down.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe the Ravens weren't able to cover that up within the field of play because he did. He reached down, and I'm not really sure why you would touch that thing in the field of play. But, yeah, it's been a Graceland afternoon. Just under 3 minutes to play here in the third quarter. Benedictine leading this thing 58-18. Graceland with the football. They're going to mark it just outside the 20 to the 24-yard line.
What is
Graceland going to run a guy on real late? That's going to be the running back, Adarius Thomas.
What do you say we fire up the carrier transportation and make a long road trip next week?
Yeah, let's go to Canton and not Ohio.
Here's a bounce to the outside, run to the outside, and oh, what a superb ankle tackle made for Benedictine by Kyle Rowland over here. That play stretched out all the way across the field, but ultimately only gaining maybe a yard, no more than two, and it'll bring up a second and long. So, yeah, for the Ravens, on the banks of the Mississippi, we'll be going over to Canton, Missouri.
This is the time of year where you see the grain trucks on the ferry.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of bald eagles.
Yeah, going across the Mississippi. So
block 20 on the Mississippi right there. Here's a pass that is just fired into the ground and incomplete. Benedictine applying some pressure in the middle and Cade Ross getting rid of that pretty quickly. It'll bring up now a third down and long.
What kind of numbers did Cade Ross have last week?
Oh, last week, 19 to 39 passing, 282 yards, two touchdowns, one interception.
Yeah, so today, 20 of 47, three touchdowns, three interceptions, 301 yards.
Pretty similar week other than a couple of more interceptions, but otherwise, you know, the number of passes, the success percentage, all pretty similar. Third down and long, back to throw again. Ross looking, dancing, being pursued, outruns the first wave of defenders, throws across the body, and it's picked off! Ravens at the 35, cutting back into the middle, Jackson, Hoskins, and the Ravens with their fourth INT.
That time the left tackle, Zay Adkins, comes down and makes a tackle on the play, and an interception for Jackson Hoskins will be his first of the season, the sophomore out of St. Charles, Missouri.
Marker on the field near the point of tackle of the quarterback.
Ravens bring their offense out.
We have a dead ball, unsportsmanlike conduct, number four of the defense. That's a 15-yard foul. First down. That's his first UNS of the game.
Yeah, they're not really sure. It's not against, well, I guess that would have been the defense at that point.
Maybe
he
that
should have
moment.
Said against Graceland, right? Because if it was after the interception.
What's the possession of the ball that changed in the
offense
defense,
became
switches.
Defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was confusing. Coming into the ballgame for the wide receivers for Benedictine, you're going to see Omarjaya Black. You're also going to have over there Zach Bierman will be the receiver to the left side. Pete Cadena, the receiver to the right.
Here comes Benedictine. Oh, swingery. Wingman over to the near side. Leskowski's back. He's in trouble. Hit as he releases the ball. Touchdown, Ravens! What a play! Luke Leskowski hit as he let go of the ball, knocked down from the blind side, but not before he delivers a strike to tight end Tanner Zimmerman, the 6'5" freshman. Benedictine stretches its lead with 2 minutes to play in the third, now 64-18. You know, Luke was probably lucky that he didn't even hear him coming because
well, I was actually
he would not
worried.
Have been able to make
it,
that.
It was coming from the blind side, and I'm like, he's going to get hit. And then he let go of it just right at the perfect opportunity, and the Ravens with another touchdown this afternoon.
Now we got a new kicker into the game for Benedictine as the PAT is going to be up, and it is good, and we'll be back. Time out of the field, exactly 2 minutes to play in the third quarter. Ravens 65, Graceland 18.
Hi, I'm Laura Weiser from Exchange Bank. In today's world of technology, online banks are popping up everywhere, promising better, more convenient banking. But there's still no better way to bank than with people you know and trust. Exchange Bank provides internet and mobile banking. But we're also here offering personal, face-to-face service you just don't get with online banks. Come see us. We're here for you.
Exchange Bank and Trust. Community-minded, that's my bank.
Atchison Auto Parts is your independent Napa dealer, locally owned and operated. Stop by and see faces you recognize that have been in the business for over 50 years combined. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right part for your passenger vehicle or heavy-duty parts for the big trucks. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Up for Benedict and the guy who just kicked that PAT, Nick Ingolia, and he's going to drive it away down to the 3-yard line. Grayson's return comes to the 20, where contact is made, and then the coverage swarms to the 22. Nick?
Brian Barrera down there for the Ravens, also getting mixed up in that action. You're going to see Corbin Dreyer, a senior linebacker out of Savannah. So the Savages had a big game last night against, weren't they at Benton?
I couldn't say. First and 10, Graceland. This has become pretty familiar territory for them, beginning a lot of the series around the road 20-yard line. This one is going to start around the 22, minute 50 to go, third quarter. Straight ahead run down, gain of 5.
You know, if they took off now, they could be home before this game really would end.
Absolutely. So it'll be they're going to give a good spot of this. Second down, 3 call. Grayson at their own 29-yard line. Cade Ross takes a snap at the knees, rolls right, being chased, being hit, being driven out of bounds on the far side. Outstanding defense for Benedict over there by Blue Kaplinger. There's a young man who's getting more and more playing time and just doing everything to earn it. I mean, he's been doing well.
And the Ravens actually kind of an embarrassment of riches, right? You've got Javai Bloomquist, Zach Gill, and Blue Kaplinger. Three guys who have that linebacker body but can play that safety hybrid. So those are guys who can walk up, fall back, cover guys in the flat. I mean, those are just valuable pieces.
Play clock is at 15 is, again, Cade Ross looks over to the far sideline to make sure that he's got the play in that he would like to have. Takes a snap back, and now a really delayed handoff to the running back who's going to be hit at the line of scrimmage, and there is just absolutely no room for Sabron Woods. Last week, Woods 8 carries for 29 yards, and today, 2 carries for 13.
You know what I really hate about that play? A young man just came in and made a tackle on him. Not only did you get Jason Anderson in there, but we have number 74 who just doesn't appear on any rosters. So can't give that young man some credit, but a nice job by the defense right there. And it's a 4th and 4. Grayson's going to have to punt this thing away. About 12 seconds separate the game clock from the play clock.
Kicker standing at his own 13-yard line waiting for the snap. Ravens have been back on him all day. More pressure again, and that one is away. Driving the return man back. And hit and dropped right there for no gain is Buteau.
There comes a penalty very late. Whitehead threw that thing from about 18 yards away. It was a laser.
He liked making that call. We're down now to the last 5 seconds of the quarter. Here comes your call from the official on the floor, on the field.
Personal foul, number 31 of the receiving team. That's a 15-yard penalty. First down.
So the penalty will be assessed against Benedictin. And it will bring up a 1st and 10, but it's going to be all the way back now for the Ravens at their own 20-yard line.
You're quicker than this. Where is penalty yardage today?
Right here.
There we go. Hey, both teams have not been bad. Benedictin, that's going to be their 7th for 75 yards. Graceland, only 7 penalties for 58. And I say only because coming into today's game, Graceland was the most penalized team in the NAIA. They had 48 penalties, an average of 12 a game, 436 yards lost in penalties.
But even at that, Benedictine is on a pace now to have a 100-yard penalty game as the run into the left side is good for 4 and brings us to the end of the third quarter. Fourth quarter coming up here in Atchison, Kansas. Ravens in control. It's Benedictine 65, Graceland 18.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary retirement planning review. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning checkup, call Brandy at 913-379-8690 or search online at Hamada Atchison, Kansas. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
Subway makes it their priority to serve you the delicious meals you love in the easiest, safest ways possible. Order in-store, online, or through the Subway app for carryout service. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Check out their fresh melts, signature wraps, no bready bowls, and amazing salads. At Subway, under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Back with you here, Wilcox Stadium. They switch ends of the field, and Benedictine here in the fourth frame is going to be going from right to left across your dial. The sun will be at their back, and I've never really understood, you know, which way you want it to be. The sun's at your back, but for receivers who are going down the field, turning back, they would look into the sun. So I don't know. So I think it's somehow all awash. Here's a little wraparound handoff straight ahead. Oh, look at that. Nice run across the 25, the 30, and stretching it out for first down yardage to the 33.
It's your guy right there, Jonah Roberts. Good downhill running right there. Jonah, a sophomore running back out of Windsor, Missouri.
So for Benedictine, it is another first and 10. And the Ravens easing the ball downfield. Checking the backfield for BC right now. You've got Luke Laskowski still in that. Running a ball at the quarterback spot. Thank you. Jonah Roberts takes a handoff, goes left side, cuts to the 35, gets across the 40, and up to around the 41-yard line. Just a quick hitter for 8.
Yeah. And, again, we saw Jonah Roberts run the ball quite a bit last year, you know, in some of this time. And he's a great runner in the sense of he gets downhill, lowers the shoulder pads, he falls forward. You know, that was an 8-yard gain on first down. And keep this possession going.
He's got good size. Actually kind of big as running backs go in this day and age. It's 6 foot tall, the sophomore, weighing 185 pounds. But 6 foot, that's a relatively tall running back. But standing next to a 6 foot three and 4-inch quarterback, you know, he doesn't look maybe quite so tall. Second down and a pair. BC at their own 41. Luke is back. He throws. It's caught. It's a first down across the 45. Flirting with the 50-yard line comes Pete Cadena, the senior. I wonder if Pete's got some family who came from Elpo today. I hope so.
Yeah.
He's having a nice afternoon. Ravens having a good afternoon. The crowd, I'll tell you what, you know, there are still an awful lot of people here, actually, for a day that's nearly 90 degrees. And the fact that we've been here for multiple hours.
So, Jacob Gathright and Jayshon Todd aren't going to have a second half reception. Both guys are going to finish 3 catches apiece. Jacob, 116 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jayshon, 98 yards and 2 touchdowns today.
Laskowski, pass to the left side, is in and then out of the hands of his intended receiver. He was looking for LeBron over here, but he couldn't quite hang on. Second down, 10, Benedictine.
LeBron James has been out there quite a bit this afternoon, but called on LeBron James, LeBron Jackson. He's been called on, though, to block a lot. I mean, and he's a good size out there.
Oh, yeah.
6'2", 195 pounds, and here's the deal. If you're able to get out there and block when coach asks you to, you're going to get your number called a handful of times.
Yeah, you earn it, you know. Looking to the near side, Luke Laskowski. Good to see Luke getting some reps out here in gameplay. Straight ahead run that's going to be largely unsuccessful.
No.
No?
Your quarterback out there for right now, look, 17.
Oh, hello.
Hello. The Chesty Lion. Jackson Dooley is going to be your quarterback right now.
Well, there you go. Jackson. There's another, a guy out of Lawrence. He spent his share of time in Baldwin City, Kansas. Jackson is a 6 foot, 1 inch red shirt freshman. And again, you're right, out of Lawrence High. Third down and 9.
Do we peel back and talk about Jackson's
I don't know if that's necessary. Here's a pass left side. It's caught for the first down. Great catch by Colin Payne. And Benedictine moves the chains. It is a first and 10.
That time for Grayson getting over there, making the stop on the play. Darby Robertson, a 6-foot freshman out of Oak Ridge High School. Oak Ridge could be, you know, North Carolina, Arkansas, Southern Missouri, you know, wherever you think it sounds like it's got an Oak Ridge.
It could be, yeah.
Peru? Peru's Oak Bowl.
Uh-huh.
I think they have an Oak Ridge. Or maybe
right above the Oak Bowl is a ridge. First down, Benedictine. Now at the Grayson 40-yard line. Motion back into the middle by Jonah Roberts, and he'll take the wraparound handoff. Burst up the middle, 40, 35, and he's going to get about 7. They'll not get him to the ground. They do stop his progress and blow the play dead. Clock at 11:11 to go.
Isaiah Slaughter, the freshman, still in the ball game, makes a stop on that play. And they say still in the ball game because he is a freshman. He is a starting strong safety.
Benedictine leading over Graceland today, 65-18. Now, here's the deal, Gus. For BC, started off like a house of fire, scoring touchdowns on their first three possessions. We thought it was going to be a big scoring day, and it is. I mean, let's not underestimate this kind of number. That's a big scoring day. But it is not going to reach the scoring record that the Ravens set against, against Graceland a few years ago. Pass over to the left side, complete to Kadena, and another BC first down.
Yeah, Pete Kadena is starting to put together some catches, and he is now up to 3 catches on the day, over 20 yards receiving.
So, yes, Benedictine had scored, what was their record, 81, was that right? Or
82, I believe.
Okay.
Single game scoring, 84-12 that year.
So right now, Benedictine leads 65-18, and we are just over 10 minutes to play in the game. Dooley with the snap, pitches to the right, drug down from behind.
There it is, yeah. You're gonna
is that the collar?
Yeah, I feel like you're going to get a horse collar tackle right there.
Trying to sweep around to the right side, Jonah Roberts for Benedictine, but he's pulled down from behind, and we kind of thought that's what had happened, but of course the only thing that matters is what the guys out there say.
On the offense, number
what?
3, that's a 10-yard penalty.
They're going to call the Ravens for a hold by one of the receivers out there.
Yeah, that's going to be called against Black, the freshman out of Irvine, California, by way of Dana Hills High School.
Hey, could you throw me a 17 right below that 32?
I sure can.
That would be a helpful thing, maybe. So the Ravens are going to be penalized. It'll be assessed.
Justin
picked from where they are going to bring that ball back outside the 30 and down on the 35-yard line. So here we go. Benedictine first and 20, and now at the 35-yard line. But is it first and 20? Is it first and 10? It's first and 20.
Yeah, first and 20, back to the 35. They've got to get down to the 15.
Trips left, that's wide side. Damon is back in the game, and he'll switch over to the right side and roll out into the flat. Pass downfield into traffic. It's caught at the 10-yard line, lunging to the 6. A great pass into a bit of traffic. And again, Gus, that's Pete Kadena with another catch. He's having a huge afternoon.
Yeah, it was a great job, though, by Jackson Dooley stepping into that pass. Harry O'Neill going to check back into the ball game. You're going to have Troy T.W. Crozier into the game. Colin Payne will be back out there. So Ravens getting a handful of younger guys involved. LeBron Jackson. LeBron J is going to bother me for a minute.
For the next 4 years.
Here we go. 86, Tanner Zimmerman. He's already got a touchdown reception today. He's back in. 5 on the play clock.
It's Raven JV out on the field, by the way. First and goal at the 7-yard line. These guys are good. A handoff will go to the right side. The foot race to the edge. Stopping. Spinning into the middle. Still twisting and turning. And his markers sail. Troy T.W. Crozier does not get to the 5-yard line.
Yeah, there's a penalty marker right as you turn the corner. You got to expect a hold, but I've been wrong all day. It could be a face mask or, you know, somebody wearing the wrong sock. I mean, I'm not really sure.
The crew again has been methodical as they've called the penalties today, and this will be for Benedictine their ninth penalty of the afternoon. They're going to go over 100 today, by the way. Again, waiting for this call to come across. While we're doing that, we want to thank all of our great listeners for being with us here this afternoon on KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison. 8:50 to go in the ball game. Benedictine leading at 65-18. And here we go with the call. I think.
Holding. Number 8 of the offense. That's a 10-yard penalty. First down.
There we go. So there comes your penalty. And here comes Benedictine back up to the line of scrimmage. Good to see a lot of the young guys out here. It's good to see the young players. Good to see so many fans, Ravens faithful alumni, family, all turning out here today on the campus. A beautiful day. Picturesque, foggy start. Here's the defense jumping. There's the offside penalty. The throw over toward the left into the end zone will go incomplete, but this will be an offside on the defensive line. If you are, let's say that you're cruising home in your automobile and you spent the day at work, whether here in Atchison or here on the campus, hope you're enjoying the conclusion of the ball game this afternoon. Benedictine looking pretty good today, leading at 65-18 with 8:46 to go. Number 12 in the nation and BC Gus. Of course, it always depends on what has occurred with the teams in front of them in the poll. But you know what, they could. Not out of the question they break into the top 10 this week. They're certainly putting together top 10 numbers.
I was going to say, they're definitely going to put that on the resume this week.
No question. First and goal now at the 12. The pass over the middle. Dooley, touchdown, Ravens! How about that? Taking the ball 8 yards deep into the end zone. It's Pete Cadena. He has come on in the second half and had a fantastic game. And the Ravens stretch the lead now to 71-18.
That thing was on a string from quarterback Jackson Dooley. A little bit of a post pattern right there. Pete Cadena in the back of the end zone. Real quick, we're going to talk about the Ravens offensive line on that possession. You had Avery Fuller, a freshman from Creston, Iowa. Bryce Nichols, a junior from Columbia. Zion Mathis is your center. Your right guard was 63, Trace Madrid, a freshman out of McKinney, Texas. And the right tackle for that possession, a guy who doesn't appear on the rosters today.
Well, I'll tell you what, the PAT, again, by Nick Ignalia, the young man out of St. James Academy,
puts
the uprights. And we got a timeout. Taking a break, 8:42 to go in the game. I'll find out what your concern is about when we return. It's Benedictine 72, Graceland 18.
Hundley Liquor is your hometown liquor store with everything you can imagine. Whether you're in the mood to finish a great day by kicking back and drinking a domestic or imported beer, or maybe even a fine wine to pair with your dinner tonight, whatever your need, look no further. Hundley Liquor at 119 South 9th Street has got it. Beer, wine, spirits. Hundley Liquor, hometown friendly, hometown helpful in Atchison.
Benjamin Franklin once wrote about investing. An investment in knowledge pays the best interest. At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to navigate the world of investments. Let us answer your most pressing questions about the markets. Whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with, give us a call to learn more at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Have you back with us as the Benedictine kick is away and the return is going to be just straight up the middle, not particularly long or deep, returned by Jameer Flowers, a freshman for Graceland, and you would suspect that maybe the Yellow Jackets are going to utilize this opportunity this late in this game to maybe, I don't know, maybe assess some talent. But instead, Coach Ross will leave Cade Ross in at the quarterback spot. I thought maybe he'd go with somebody new just to work him. quarterback is going to run, throws the ball, and it's going to be broken up and nearly picked off near the 50-yard line. Second down, 10.
Is there a record for most interceptions thrown in a game by a Graceland quarterback?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Maybe we're trying to get to that record.
He's working on it.
No, I mean, right now, what do you have to lose? You're not going to change your quarterback because...
No, you're never going to do that.
It's not going to happen.
It's
so
not
going to
happen.
You're kind of looking to pad the stats a little bit. 300-yard passing today, 3 touchdowns, so more interceptions than touchdowns. Completion percentage under 50, nearing 40% today.
Second down, 10. Back to throw again. Fires it over to the left side. It'll be caught along the line of scrimmage, and as he gets to the 30-yard line, the receiver is going to be gang-tackled by a trio of BC coverage guys. Third down.
Blue Kapling are the first guy out there for the Ravens. Hey, Ty Rutledge, a freshman out of Englewood by way of Missouri Southern, checking into the ball game for the Ravens.
Gerald Monroe with that catch. He's trying to hold on to that number 2 spot in the NAIA in receiving yards.
You're going to do nothing to hurt that today with all those yards.
Third down, 4 for Graceland. Benedictine starts off, gets offside. Then an offensive lineman jumps. Okay, so what's your call? The defender had jumped, was still standing across the neutral zone when the offensive lineman comes up and backs up.
Going to go against the Ravens. Checking out of the ballgame, Eric Chavez, a 6'3", 290-pound sophomore defensive lineman out of Lancaster, California.
Oh, I was going to say, just right out the 286th road
yeah,
here.
Yeah. Where I went to elementary school.
Yes.
Hey, crazy news. We're going to update you on some scores around the heart of America after this play.
Ravens again go offsides, and this one is nearly picked off. It goes incomplete, and more penalties slowing down what has already been a bit of a laborious game.
Okay. What's more interesting than what's happening while the officials talk right here? Games in the conference. William Penn gets a win today. They knock off Missouri Valley. Cannot figure out Valley. Penn, 21. Vikings, 10. Culver Stockton beat Central Methodist 26-7 today. You've got the two night games as Grandview is playing Evangel, Peru is playing Mid-America. Might have left a score out, right? That buried the lead.
I was going to say, are you just building to the volume of this next one?
In Baldwin City this afternoon, the pride of Clark knock off the Wildcats 20-19. Baker has lost their third consecutive game. Losing this week to Clark, last week to Peru State, 2 weeks ago losing to Grandview. So, Baker, going to have to figure out some things.
And there's a little sweep to the left side. It's good for nothing, no yardage. Third down and, you know, about 5 for Graceland.
Jimmy Richardson in on the stop right there for the Ravens. He's a junior cornerback out of Buckeye, Arizona.
Halfway through the fourth quarter. 7.5 minutes to play in the game. Benedictine leading it here. 72-18. We got with 2 games to go. Can we officially deem this the lopsided win of the conference this weekend?
Here's
a still straight ahead run, bouncing to the outside and into Raven territory. Angling inside the 45-yard line, it'll be down to the 43. Grayson will pick up a first down and advance the chains. Inside 7 minutes to go. And that's the only thing that the crowd here. I don't care which side you're cheering for. Everyone is only watching, not the score numbers,
everybody's
but the
cheering
clock.
For the clock.
Cheering for the clock. Snap back and a straight ahead run. Maybe a yard, 10 to the 40. So next week, we've got a couple of good ones coming up. We've got
we're going to be out at Effingham, and the Tigers will be hosting Pleasant Ridge, a team we got to see last night. And then next Saturday, we're going to make our way over to Canton, where the Ravens will take on the Culver Stockton Wildcats.
Is that a noon?
That's a noon kickoff.
Have
so.
To kick out an hour early. Second down, quarterback is back, throws out of the backfield, and what a mistake as he dove for the pass in the backfield. The receiver makes the catch all right, but Sabron Woods falls to the ground. He will make a reception and lose 5 yards.
7 yards.
Over there.
Yeah.
See it here? This is what happened with Graceland, you know, a few years ago when they were setting records for completions in a game but couldn't win a game, it's because they were shit throwing 1- and 2- and 3-yard passes in the backfield, but never getting really up along the line of scrimmage and certainly never looking downfield. Well, that play was kind of a throwback to that. Third down, 13, over the middle, and it is broken up, and that was a big-time defensive play for Benedictine, and a few extra syllables thrown in.
Cade Ross looked like a little kid throwing that ball. The defender was coming to him. He put his head down, turned to the side, and threw the ball somewhere in the middle of the field. He didn't really even care where it ended up. Now he goes over the sideline, and his dad tells him, go back out there. You're going to throw something on fourth down.
We're going for it on fourth down.
So it's the classic, don't throw the ball to Johnny because I'm Johnny, right?
Yeah.
Well, Cade Ross is going to be out there for a fourth and 14, looking to convert here. They are 2 of 4 on fourth down today.
They were 2 of 2. Quarterback is back, chased, running for his life, now rolling out, throws a sidearm, has his man, and it's going to be caught, and they will get the first down. And that was a good job by Ross to get away from a guy who I thought had him sacked for a loss of 8 or 10. Just a little sidearm sling, kind of the Brett Favre look as he was going downfield, 1st and 10, Graceland at the Benedictine 23.
So the officials say, yeah, just keep that clock rolling as they're getting the stick set on the far side.
Inside 5 now to play. Ross is back, standing flat-footed, just like trying to decoy people to slow down. And now the catch made on the near side, out of bounds at the 13. And they're going to say, no, the tackle was made in play. We're going to keep the clock running.
The official was coming in from the goal line. He said, stop it. The other official said, no.
No.
No, he willingly went out of bounds. We're okay, whatever. It is 4:40 left in this contest.
The ball now down at the Benedictine 15. Graceland is threatening. It's 4th touchdown of the afternoon. Cade Ross will look over to the far side, the Yellow Jacket quarterback.
Trying to get this under a 50-point deficit today.
Is that a mental thing? I mean,
is
50 is 50 helping you any?
I'm looking for a silver lining.
Here we go. Beautiful pass over the middle. It's going to be caught. Graceland touchdown. Again, a little kind of a sidearm toss into the center from Ross to Trey Blake. 4:15 left in the game.
Great news for Cade Ross. He now has thrown as many touchdown passes today as he has interceptions.
Okay. Well,
so again, even in that out, seriously, though, you're looking for some silver linings. You're going to say, okay, at least I didn't throw more interceptions than touchdowns today. At least I, at this point, didn't lose by 50 today. I'm just trying to look for something. You didn't have as many penalties today as you have all season. So, again, as the field goal or the extra point is no good, you've struggled with those. That's probably been your worst thing. Between that and your defensive schemes today, those are the things I think you're going to have to work on going forward for Graceland.
Well, with an unsuccessful PAT, we're taking a timeout. Joseph, we hope we're winding it down. 4:15 to play this afternoon. Benedictine 72, Graceland 24.
Skyway Banks at 711 Commercial Street in downtown Atchison is always introducing new products with you in mind. Check out the selection of slim and foldable batteries, Delta gummies, carts, and dispos. If it's e-juice you want, Skyway Banks has it, along with all of your vaping accessories. It's the vaping experience you want. Friendly, knowledgeable service with a range of products that can't be beat. Skyway Banks, 711 Commercial in downtown Atchison. Open 10 to 9 Monday through Saturday, Sunday noon to 7.
Amberwell Atchison is excited to announce the return of the Amberwell Health Fair Saturday, October 15th from 8 a.m. to noon at Atchison Elementary School. With over 50 indoor and outdoor booths and activities planned, attendees can look forward to free health screenings, vaccinations, and blood tests, kids and adult educational activities, and lots of prizes and giveaways. Bring the whole family. It's sure to be a fun day for all. For more details, visit amberwellhealth.org.
Everybody up short, and they are going to call for a fair catch at the 15-yard line, and the BC offense will come back out on the field. You talk about a lot of things out here, Gus, with this game today. Benedictine, I love the red zone numbers, 7-7. It's hard to do any better than that. But along with perfection in the red zone came, can it be perfection when it's bad? Because Benedictine, 3 fumbles, 3 lost fumbles today. And that's a problem because we saw some guys who normally are more sure-handed than that just really having a hard time holding on.
Yeah, and did they – okay, no interceptions today. But still, 3 lost fumbles today, 4 turnovers last week. So you've had 7 turnovers in the last 8 quarters. Going to have to be a little better there. And I think Coach Osborne wouldn't hesitate to agree with you there.
Here's a handoff into the left side to trying to get around the outside. 26 short yardage by Ezekiel Anderson. He's a sophomore running back out of American Canyon, California. I believe he's probably the first player Benedictine from American Canyon. The Ravens also, you talk about things they're going to be wanting to work on, and we've been getting on this one all season long. The penalty issues continue to thrive. 11 penalties for over 100 yards today. That's a little bigger number than you want. Now, what you do like for Benedictine, and this is probably, I think, in a little research would verify this, their biggest offensive day is they now, on that carry, go over 550 yards of offense. And of those 550, about 400 of them were passing yards, 390-plus. Ravens are not going to pick up a first down, and we've got to punt the football here. What are we going to do? No, they're going to just turn it over on downs and 3:31 to go. Benedictine in front, 72-24 here this afternoon. Yellow Jackets are going to have it with some excellent field position. BC rolling the dice a little bit, but now we're going to have a new quarterback. Here we go. Grayson is, in fact, going to go with a new look at a backfield. That's going to be Donovan Anthony. Donovan, 6'1", sophomore, a little straight ahead handoff, and he'll pick up about 4 or 5 yards, taking it right down the hash marks and to the 23-yard line. That'll bring up now for Grayson a 2nd down, 5. Clock moving along now at 3:15 to go in and ticking along. And that's not going to be Donovan Anthony. We were told he's going to be their number 2 quarterback instead. Yeah, it is Donovan. He's wearing 8. He's out of Washington High School. You know where that's at, right, Gus? Here's a pass into the left flat. Juggled, and caught, and running out of bounds on the far sideline. But as he was juggling the ball, he was going backward. So what was going to be a first down is not. And it'll bring up a 3rd down. And how far back are they going to mark this thing? He lost to like 5 or 6. So it's 3rd down and 11 here.
Yeah, so, again, the one thing that I think the Ravens really going to have to clean up as they start to get into playing some of these better teams, you know, 8 turnovers in 2 weeks is just a little too much. 6 fumbles lost and now 2 interceptions in the last 2 weeks. But 2:39 away from a big win this afternoon.
We're going to have a procedural call against Grayson. It'll march it back. And the clock, though, 2.5 minutes to play. 72-24 BC. So again, for the Ravens, it's going to be a nice afternoon. Better day than they're having in Baldwin City today.
Yeah, they'll get Culver Stockton coming off a 3-touchdown win today.
Here's a throw, deep as he can, into the end zone. Touchdown, Graceland. How about that? Anthony to Emil Rabin, gentleman out of Germany.
There are a couple penalty markers out on the field, one at the line of scrimmage, one over on the far sideline. And Graceland keeps walking back. You got to think this is against the Yellow Jackets.
That was a nice throwing ball, by the way, no matter what the penalty was. He slung it right out there and hit him on the run. That was kind of nice. And they take a long look over to the far side.
The officials haven't done anything to help us speed this game up
today,
really.
No. But you know what? The band is still here. I thought I saw some of them leaving, but I look out of the stands and I see a bunch of them. So we still got the band over here.
Defense, number 91, hands to the face. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Okay.
Touchdown is good.
So a hands-to-the-face penalty against the Ravens will be declined, and it will be touchdown, Graceland.
So the Yellow Jackets on the board, 72-30, and we have hit the 100. here today. 102 total points, and looking for some more is Graceland. I think they got to go for two here for the PAT. See what they decide to do. Is again, that's Donovan Anthony, 6'1", 190, out of Washington High School. And he's going to throw one left side, has a man wide open, gets inside the pylon, the two-point conversion's good. Joseph, we're going to you with 2:25 to play in the game. Benedictine 72, Graceland 32.
Get your tan on at Snap Fitness. You don't have to be a Snap Fitness member to take advantage of their great tanning deals. With 3 tanning beds, appointments are available from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Monday through Thursdays and 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Call them at 913-367-1511 to schedule. Get your tan on at Snap Fitness, 409 Commercial in Atchison.
The new Fall Blizzard Treat Menu is at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill, and it's got all the fall, featuring returning favorites like pumpkin pie and new flavors like cinnamon roll setters, Reese's Take 5, Snickers Brownie, and more. This may be the fallest Fall Blizzard Treat Menu lineup of all time, and it's all blended together in delicious, world-famous DQ soft serve. Try all the flavors at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison.
Here in Atchison, Kansas, where the crowd that remains enjoying the final moments of the ball game here today is Benedictine, setting up for what will be a huge win against Graceland this afternoon. A little penalty from a moment ago being assessed, and the Yellow Jackets are going to be kicking it off from the midfield stripe and for Graceland. New guy, Gus. No, is that Joe? That's going to be Joe Sanchez out there. Joe, 5'10", 220. Solidly built kicker. Well, look, kickers used to be the tall, skinny, Jan Stenerud-looking guys. Now you got the guy from Peru State. You got the guy like that. They look like a defensive lineman, you know, putting a toe to the football. He'll take advance on about a seven-step approach, and this kick is into her end, high and not real deep, but deep enough to drive it into the end zone from the 50. And Benedictine going with a fair catch. He'll have it back first and 10.
So the last time we were here at Wilcox Stadium, the Ravens had 12 possessions on the afternoon.
Okay.
They're about to start possession 17 of the day. So
17 possessions.
Yeah, and for Graceland, there are already 18 possessions on the day. The lost possession came when Benedictine was able to run back the kickoff for the touchdown. So, yeah.
Here comes the Raven offense. And who is running the ball club? Is that going to be, again, Jackson out there? No.
Doesn't look like Jackson.
Here's a handoff into the right side and some short yardage gain out there for Benedictine now. I am working with... No, I don't know who that is. Well, we'll see. Can we figure out...
Not Jackson.
I thought the Ravens had a freshman quarterback from California that may be out there. Okay, here you go. I guess you get to the bottom of this stuff, man. I like that.
Gabe.
So I got Gabe out there running the club for Benedictine. Raven's got plenty of jerseys, got some duplicate numbers. You can get a lot of guys out on the field like that. It is a second down, 5. Ravens at their own 30-yard line. Little wraparound handoff again. 30, 5, putting his head down and kind of bouncing forward with the football is going to be...
Jonah Roberts.
Jonah. Sport number 32.
Okay. Let's see if I can do a little research.
Okay, Gabe Suri. I can tell you he's a 6-foot, 2-inch freshman from St. Dominic's in Wentzville. You've spent a night in Wentzville, haven't you?
I have.
You and the whole team, right?
Yep, going to Lindenwood back in the day.
6-foot-2 redshirt freshman.
Patrick wishes he was in St. Chuck instead of Lamoni right now.
You think?
Hey,
in the last minute of the game.
Here we go.
And you were looking for this formation earlier. The Ravens will go to the diamond, and that's going to do it. The final score this afternoon in Atchison, Kansas, Benedictine, 72. Graceland, 32, and we'll be back to summarize it for you right after this.
Your car is a complex machine filled with the latest technology, and it needs quality service to keep it running right. By taking your car or truck to Lewis Chevrolet Buick in Atchison, you will have peace of mind knowing your vehicle will be maintained and repaired by highly trained professionals. And when it's time to add or upgrade a vehicle, look right here at Lewis Chevrolet Buick. Small town feel with big city discounts. Call them at 913-367-3000 or stop by 314 Woodlawn in Atchison.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary retirement planning review. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning checkup, call Brandy at 913-379-8690 or search online at Hamada Atchison, Kansas. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
Good to have you back with us as we wrap up an impressive Benedictine victory. Gus, now people are going to be detracting a little bit and say, man, it took forever, and it wasn't a real pretty game. And yeah, we did document the fact that the Ravens had probably too many penalties in the course of the afternoon and probably too many turnovers in the course of the afternoon. But said and done, okay, you check off a W and you load up the bus and we head to Canton.
Yeah, for the Ravens, there's a handful of things you're going to pull away from this game, but you know what you're going to say? You're going to say, we scored 72 points today. We were able to win by 40 points. We were forcing Graceland into a handful of turnovers. What, 1, 2, 3, 4 interceptions today? So a lot of good things today for the Ravens. They put up big yardage. They were able to just, at the end of the day, it looked good, getting a lot of guys in the game. I thought the young guys were able to participate and played well. So I think, next week when you talk to Coach Osborne, those are things that he's really going to be happy with. Always going to be things you take away from today's game that you're not going to be happy with. But what's kind of crazy, we're not back here for like almost a month, right? We're back here on October 15th is the next time we'll be back here in Wilcox Stadium, because next week we'll be on the road, and then the week after that will be the bye week. So we won't be back here until October 15th, and you got to think that might be an ugly one, too, if Central Methodist comes to town.
Okay, but the questions I'm going to leave you with here as we get ready to wrap this thing up. Garrett Kittle had some spectacular numbers today, okay? I mean, he didn't play much over half of the game. Ended up going 12 of 16. That's not big numbers. It's a great percentage, but 12 of 16 for 294, 5 and none. So, are those conference POW numbers?
Yeah. I mean,
5 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's a big number.
Here's the deal. Had he got 6 more yards, it would have looked nicer, because
goes to 300.
300. Uh-huh. And you're like, 294. The other quarterback threw for 3.5. I think the one guy that's going to be tough to beat, though, is Gerald Monroe. You're going to look at 205 receiving yards today. But, yeah, I thought Garrett was good. He took care of the football. He facilitated the offense. He put together his highest completion rate of the season. And I know that that's a number that Coach Osborne really likes to see. He likes to talk about, this is the percentage number that we want to see our quarterbacks over. So, having done that. But I also was happy to see the young guys come in. Jackson Dooley was 4 of 5 today for 59 and a touchdown. You had Luke Laskowski was 5 of 7 and 37 yards. And you know what I like? Luke was efficient. 5 completions, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So you're going to be happy with all of those numbers. You had 3 quarterbacks that combined to throw, 4 and 2 is 6 and 1. 7 incomplete passes today and 8 touchdowns. That's a good day.
That's a good day.
So
the Ravens move to 4-1. Graceland goes to 3-2. Hey, we want to thank you all for having joined us today. Also, quick shout-out to Aaron Hauser, Coach Hauser, who joined us at halftime. Great job. Thank you very much, Coach. Till we greet you next time, final score again today from Wilcox Stadium. It was Benedictine 72, Graceland 32. For Joseph, our producer, engineer, in the Care Sports Studio, and Gus Kautz with me here in the booth, Tom Kautz saying so long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Benedictine Raven Football on your local sports authority, KAIR Radio 93.7 FM, and streaming on MSCNews.net. Benedictine Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management.